Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Ready to get started?
Yes, do it.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
Introduce yourself. Everybody that's listening and can't see you.
Yes, I'm Lance Hart. And here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are, alone with the Pope.
Yeah.
You, sir, are my first male guest.
Whoa.
Cool. Which is awesome. I've been talking about it because I keep bringing girls on here all the time. And I was like, you know what? I need male perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I want something, because there's one, it's the men I don't feel are represented enough in this industry. And when I say that, not to take away from the women.
Sure.
But it's more that there's all this talk about everything that happens with the females, and there's not as much talk about what happens with the males or what goes on with the males or how that happens. Along with the whole thing of, like, the whole idea behind this is to humanize us.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Make people go, oh, there's more to them than someone. And I say this on every one just in case no one ever listens to the other ones.
Right.
But it's to make people go, oh, there is something more to them than just someone who fucks and goes and hides and waits to get called to go fuck some more.
Exactly.
Kind of thing.
Makes sense.
So we're kind of like getting it out there. It's doing good so far. We'll see what happens.
Well, good deal. I'm happy to be a part of it. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Let's see. Where do we start? I have questions.
Yeah.
I have one, because things that some people may not know about you is that you are the creator of pervout.com, right?
Yeah, totally.
Let's talk about that. What started that?
So that, so the main bullet points are I started working as a performer, and then shortly I was in a contract for SeanCody.com, the gay company.
Right.
It was great, loved it, but as soon as that contract was over, I knew right away I wanted to just make my own content. There obviously was more, I mean, it wasn't rocket science. I was like, they're paying my check. So obviously they have more money than me, so I want to do what they do. You know what I mean?
I want that kind of money.
Yeah, I want that money. I want the guy that, you know, I want to be the guy that writes the checks. That guy has all the money. So, so I bought a shitty camcorder at Walmart in the middle of the night, put an ad on Backpage back when you could, and some really hot girl showed up, and we did fetish stuff all night, and that content made a shit ton of money. It was great. You know what I mean? I just put it on Clips for sale. And I was like, yeah, I made money. But I knew it did well, but like, so it's really trashy to talk about like how much money you make and stuff, but people in porn say did well, and you don't know if they made $500 or if they made $1 million. You know what I mean? So it's really, I think there's a time and place for that. So, so that little shitty shoot and then a couple other little things I did were, they made me like $8,000 that month. You know what I mean? So I was like,
it's a lot of money.
Good money. You know what I mean? But I was still thinking, okay, how do I make like the guy that owns Sean Cody money? You know what I mean? Or like Peter money from Kink. You know what I mean? Back in the day. I was like, like I wanted to shoot high. So I knew I needed affiliates, because that's what people at home who don't know, if you're on Twitter and you see a scene will come out and then a performer will, like Charlotte's in it. And then she'll retweet it from maybe you shot her in a scene. So she'll retweet you. And then all these other random accounts, so you don't really know who they are also tweeting pictures and videos of it.
Right.
And those are affiliates. And when someone clicks on their link, they get half the money.
Right.
And so that's how affiliates work. And that's how a ton of money gets made in websites. If you have just a handful of really good affiliates, you can start making way, way, way more money, because their full-time job is to get people to buy your porn. So why not have them work for you? So on just doing clips, and Minivids didn't exist yet, but any platform like that, I couldn't have affiliates, which meant I felt like I couldn't get the big daddy money. You know what I mean?
Right.
So how do I do that? So I worked my butt off and figured out how to, and you can go make a porn site. Everybody knows someone who can make a site, but how do I make one that actually works with merchant processing and hosting that I need and the affiliate program and all that blah, blah, blah background shit.
Right.
That was my mission. So I did that. I made sweetfemdom.com and ManUp, what at the time was a different name for ManUpFilms.com. And they did really well with those affiliates, and they started making more money. So now I'm making like $20,000 a month. And I'm like, what? Cool. Meanwhile, I'm in Tampa, Florida, and all my buddies that I'm shooting clips with are doing okay, but they're like, how is he making that? You know, they started asking questions, and I wanted to help my friends. And then it occurred to me that, oh, I can help them. I can just replicate what I did, do it for them, and I'm not going to scam them, but I'll get like, you know, 10% off of whatever they get. You know, something like that, like some kind of business relationship that's for friends, you know, it was not intended for like, I'm going to go be the next Clips for sale. Cause I love Clips for Sale. I didn't want to compete with them. They helped me start my business. The owner is a friend, I would say. He's a good guy. I'm having lunch with him in a couple weeks out in Tampa. I didn't want to go be like Kinkbomb and be like, I'm going to go copy their model and do that. I was going to do something different. It was literally just, how do I get independent content makers affiliate programs? Right. So that was like simple shit, which if for people at home, they're like, that's, I don't know what you're talking about. But I mean, you know, for performers, they kind of might get that.
Right.
So we made Pervout. It ended up growing into like 110 sites.
Holy shit, I didn't realize it got that big.
Well, it got big, but the funny thing is, out of 110 sites, my two sites that I was making content for still made consistently about 20 grand a month. All the other sites put together made about 2 grand a month. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So it was like that. I struggled with it, and most of the people were my buddies or scene partners who are friends, you know what I mean? And I felt like a dick, like calling them all and say, hey, why don't you update, or why don't you shoot more stuff, or why don't you this and that?
Where's your hustle at?
Yeah, like, where's that? And they all, I wasn't selling people on it because I didn't want to have people who didn't want to be there, but they're all people who said, oh, I want a site. I said, okay, I'll make you a site. But it wasn't their baby. It wasn't their excitement, and they could make more money escorting or, you know, so like if it was like, oh, I don't have a shoot next Thursday, should I make content for my Pervout site, or could I go get a client? You know what I mean? Or could I go fuck off and eat pizza all day? You know what I mean? Like anything, but making content didn't seem like the most important thing. And most of them said, there's a common trend of like, one, it's not my baby. Two, that everyone was very brand focused. All I can make is just me jerking off at home, but I'm sort of a big deal in porn. I want to make a big shoot. I want to make a pretty shoot. Or I'm an S&M person. I want to do what JP does. And I'm like, well, you're not JP. And you're not yet, for sure. You know what I mean? Like you're living in a one bedroom apartment and just, let's just shoot what you can at home.
Do what you can at home and build the empire.
And build it. Yeah, yeah. But they're like, no, it's not my brand. It's going to look off brand, or I don't have the lights, or I don't have the camera, or I don't have this, or I don't have that. So, eventually, I was looking at a way of trying to shut it down and just going back to making my own sites. And I couldn't figure out how to do that nicely because I didn't want to let my friends down, but it was awkward.
Right.
And then what was terrible, the best thing that could have happened. I had one financial partner. He was like a small partner. He had invested a little bit of money a long time ago. He stole all the money from the business, which sucked at the time. I was like, what a jerk. It was a crazy, terrible thing to do, but it caused the business to dissolve because he stole all the money. So I was like, well, don't have to worry about that anymore. I'm just broke. You know what I mean?
So that took care of everything.
Yeah, it took care of that. So then I was about 2.5 years ago, that happened. And I went from having pretty good money, I mean, performing and doing that, and then my sites, and I was kind of balling for me anyway. I mean, that's good money for me.
Right.
To like broke and in about 50 grand of debt, like overnight, because it just everything crushed. And I didn't have money to literally pay my rent. And I had shoots that were already scheduled that I didn't want to back out of. And I'm like, how am I going to pay for those? And literally the bank account was negative 2 grand overnight. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like then overdrafts every day, you know what I mean? And then all that. So Mojo Host helped me out a lot. They were nice enough to, Brad at Mojo Host is like a really good dude for, especially if you're an independent porn maker, he'll work with you.
Right.
I told him what happened and he said, hey buddy, I know you're good for it. You pay the bill when you can. You know what I mean?
Which is fucking awesome.
Amazing in porn. And I did. I made good on that. And I mentioned his name everywhere I can now. You know what I mean?
That's awesome.
He's a good dude.
Right.
Other things were like, fuck, you're shut down. You know what I mean? So, but at least I had a site. I independently owned all my domains, like Pervout and all that stuff outside of my partnership. So I could keep that. I through a lot of lawyers, I bought all my content, basically. Like everything I'd shot for Sweet Film Dumb and Man Up, I bought all that from that old business.
Right.
Which was very, very expensive. But I had to sell some guns that I loved, you know what I mean? Make some quick money and then do a lot of shoots that I didn't feel like doing. You know what I mean?
Kind of got forced into I gotta make this money.
I gotta make this money. Like I was kind of over being tortured and gay S&M porn. I used to love that and I maybe one day will want to do that again. But I just said where I was at, I was like, I don't want to get beat up and tortured anymore, you know?
Right.
But all of a sudden I was like, I need the money. So back to that.
I'll take a little more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're putting giant things in my butt again. We're doing all kinds of stuff. And it worked out, man. I worked my butt off for like, I don't know, a month and a half, and I rebuilt now Pervout is really a WordPress page that links to my everything else I do, you know, which is just Sweet Femdom, my Femdom site, which is like girls in pantyhose, fucking guys in the ass. And then Man Up is like superheroes and robots, gay porn, you know what I mean? Like a lot of hypnosis and they like mind control and really they like rape, but you can't do that. So what can you get away with? Well, he's under a spell. Now I can rape him. You know what I mean? So that's what I shoot. And
now I can consensually, non-consensually put my penis
in. Exactly. Yeah. That's what works. So I do that. And those two things have built them back up. And now they're doing good. And but Pervout, I don't even know what to do with that domain anymore. It's just a WordPress page. It's been on TV because I did like a documentary a while back. So like every other week, it's on Fusion TV, some cable channel. You know what I mean? So it gets traffic. But I haven't figured out what to do. I've like linked out to Flirt for Free and did that shit. You know what I mean? And that never really made money. So it just kind of is. I like the name so much too. I don't want to let it go.
All your names are good. Like when I first saw your Man Up films. Is it manup.com?
I couldn't get manup.com because some guy sells like workout supplements and he owned it. He would not sell it to me. He was like, no, bro. So it's Man Up Films. It was manupbitches.com. Like Man Up Bitches. And that was kind of a dumb one. So when I redid everything, I was like, it's going to be Man Up Films. And then Sweet Femdom just makes sense because I shoot Femdom and I love Divine Bitches, but it's not that. And it's not, and Vicious Femdom is already a thing. My friend Lexi runs that. That's like gold standard.
Is that Sindel?
I consider that like gold standard for Femdom porn. I mean, she really gets it. But I wanted to cater to the guy who likes to have his ball squeezed and likes threats and likes humiliation stuff, but doesn't really want to be a slave. You know what I mean? And also doesn't like to get bitched at. Right. You know what I mean? Like don't talk to me like a bitch. Like, I don't want to deal with a bitch. I want to deal with a nice person. Right. You know what I mean? But hurt me a little if you can, you know?
Just a little.
Yeah, just a little. And then let's be cool and have a sandwich, you know? And there's a lot of people like that want that. So that's what that is. So
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And I feel like it sounds like you're doing kind of more of the stuff. You are shooting the content that you're into yourself. Like, you're more passionate about.
Yeah, Sweet Femdom for sure. That stuff, I jerk off to it. I mean, which is, I don't know if a lot of directors jerk off to their own shit, but
I do.
Yeah, okay, cool.
But I feel like that's when, and I remember I met a director at Kink, and obviously I'm not going to throw names around, but there was a director, and I said something about jerking off to the porn. He was like, wait a minute, what? And I was like, you don't jerk off to what you do? And he was like, no.
Right.
I was like,
how do you know it's good?
Well, do you do, like, when you're doing the thing, are you, like, excited? And he was like, you mean, like, getting a hard on? I was like, yeah. He was like, no. I was like, wait, tell me this? Now, so you're doing this thing and there's no, he's like, I'm so busy and I'm focused on, which you have to be when you're Dom, and you know this too,
is
you got to be focused on what's going on. You got to focus on the bondage.
So much.
As a director, producer, you got the lights and the sound and the camera people are where they're supposed to be.
All that.
So all of this is on the plate. He's like, I can't think about my penis. And I was like, but the one minute when you have to trust everyone around you to do their job and actions gets called and there's nothing. He was like, I'm too distracted. I was like, you need to pull back.
Pull
back a little bit. And then years later, he came to me and he was like, dude, you would never believe. And I'd forgotten about the conversation. And he was like, you never believe what happened. I was like, what? He was like, I actually started getting a hard under. And he somehow got to where he was able. And he was like, and I love what I do. And I like watching it. And I jerk off to it.
Because
to be a producer, I think the best thing about us is we get to make we make our personal porn.
Yeah.
We get to make something like where everyone else is like, if they're lucky, they may get a partner to agree one time to videotape a thing, recording the sex. And it's usually horrible. And we get to have professionals around us doing it.
Oh, yeah. We got to enjoy it. And it's like, how do I know it's good? I mean, I see this so much. My friends that make porn, they feel my job is really to make something that's good to jerk off to, right?
Right.
That's my job. But the mark of how well I'm doing is like, how many times did the preview get retweeted? Which is, that doesn't mean someone jerked off to it. Or how many awards did it win? Or is it a groundbreaking film? And, you know what I'm saying, with air quotes. You know, like, is it getting these accolades from like Rolling Stone or something?
Right.
Well, cool, but that doesn't mean it's good to jerk off to.
Right.
You know what I mean? It needs to be good to jerk off to. It's porn.
And if it's not something that they're going to jerk off to, then they're going to eventually stop watching it.
Oh, yeah.
Unless it's so fucking far out there with the crazy shit that you're doing that it becomes this thing that, like, there's certain affiliate sites, and I can't think of, there's one now that I think was E-Fucked. or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were a big affiliate at Kink for a while, but they still are now. But they basically made fun of everybody.
Yeah.
Like they would get, there were certain girls that, you know, would start speaking in tongues when the orgasms would start. And they were like, oh, demon possessed girl in bondage. And it was ribbing on all of us all the time.
Yeah.
But obviously people were still jerking off to it.
Oh,
but that was their way of selling it, was let's try and pick out the craziest shit we can find and make fun of it.
Yeah. Anything that works. But in the end of the day, no one's going to pay for porn because it's really funny.
No.
You know what I mean? Or it's really, it's Halloween now, so everybody's making Halloween porn. Your thing was awesome. But like, I would jerk off to that, your new feature that just came out.
Right.
It's hot, but it's also a horror movie. You know what I mean? But it's,
I heard something the other day that was, I was listening to a morning show and they were talking about, you know, because they always randomly, if you ever listen to morning shows or any talk show, they randomly like throw things out to kind of fill in the void.
Yeah.
And they said that there's this new study that just came out, and I was going to remember what it was, the name of it, but there's this term that, because forever I've said that there's a link between sexual arousal and fear, consensual fear. There's a reason that these haunted houses go up this time of year. People wait in line for 2 or 3 hours to spend 15 minutes getting the shit scared out of them, to come out giggling and go get in line and do it all over again.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've always knew that there was some type of affiliation, even though that I'm not a psychologist or whatever.
Right.
But there's been a recent study, and they've linked the two of them together, that the fear and the sexual arousal are actually, and there's a term for it. And I was going to be prepared and have the fucking term,
right,
but
right.
I don't.
That makes sense.
But there's an actual thing now that people are like, science.
Yeah.
Science is backing us up now, that says that, because it is. It's like you getting scared. And you're like, oh, fuck, it does something. It's so similar in the brain that your brain's hard on, wet pussy. I'll take that or being scared. Like, all of them kind of stimulate the same way.
When we just put on, I just sponsored like a self-defense for sex workers class. And it was when I was talking to the trainer, they're professional people that train people how to like not get hurt, right?
Right.
And they, the thing they were going to lead with was arousal cues, which are also predatory cues. So basically, long story short, they couldn't do their plan because the subliminal things people do before they're about to attack someone, like punch someone or rape them or rob a bank or something, are the exact same subliminal things we do before when we want to fuck, you know? So if you're trying to teach an escort how to watch out for shit, like, oh, if he rubs his face a lot and does this or does that, that could be a sign that he's a predator, right? Well, that's all out the window because he's horny. You know what I mean? Like, you're in the room. Your job is to make him horny. You're doing a good job. He's giving you predatory cues. So we had it was just interesting, I thought. Those two are very connected. So we had to go a different way with that class. But it was still a good class. It was really good.
Right.
So we're going to do it again. Do more of those. So.
Did you guys have a good turnout? Was it big?
We tried to push it. It was good for what I thought it would be. I mean, sex workers are... I'm a sex worker. These are my people, so I'm talking about myself. We're the worst about showing up, right?
Yeah,
like if it's not money that day, this was a free class. It would have cost like $500 a head for someone to pay for it. You know what I mean? The same thing that they teach the government. Government contractors go to take their class for like $500 a head. So it's free, there's free food. And we had like maybe 8 people show up, you know? And we like marketed it, not marketed it. We press released it, tweeted it, did all that kind of stuff. It was in Vegas. There's less of sex workers in Vegas, but there's still heaps of us here.
Right.
A lot of full service sex workers live in Vegas. So because it's a good place to be. And so we had like 8 people show up, but those 8 people got really, really good information. So it's good. You know? And then the next one we're doing is actually going to be at XBiz during the business part. You know, like we're not the award show, but I forgot what you call it, where the panels are and shit like that.
Yeah.
We're going to put on a very specific, just how to use pepper spray class. So we got the same trainers coming up, but they're both certified and they teach cops how to spray people and shit. So, I mean, they're
that's
good.
Super awesome.
And, we got the company that makes really good pepper spray is not sponsoring it, but providing a shit ton of pepper spray.
Right.
So, I'm not going to put this in the PR about it cause I don't know if XBiz will be cool with it, but basically anyone who goes gets free pepper spray. So that's cool. You know
that's
what I mean?
Super cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
And, there's a local place out here. it's a little further north. It's called Sportsman's Lodge, I think.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And they are offering, I think it's Sportsman's Lodge. Don't quote me on that.
Right.
Got too many cameras looking at them. But they are doing something to where they are doing a free, and it's very limited seating, but they're doing a free carry conceal permit.
Oh, cool, yeah.
For women only.
Oh, that's cool.
Just like they've got a thing up in the North Vegas shooting range, they have classes that I think they call them Annie Oakley class, and it's the same thing. It's geared just at women doing carry and doing, so it's kind of like, don't be afraid of this. We're going to, like, there's so many things from what you're doing to, like, even people who aren't sex industry people.
Right.
And it's nice because there's a lot of amazing people in this world. And there's also a nice handful of shitheads that cause this thing that kind of seems to have to happen.
I think the guy that's actually teaching these classes for me, John Johnson, he always says, like, the world would be a better place if more people just talk to each other. You know, and we've kind of come together because he's a gun community, personal protection community guy. Like, his job is violence, basically, you know, and that community doesn't necessarily cross over to sex work, mostly because of politics, because sex workers were liberal people, but overall, you know, to be speaking. Right. And then the gun community and all that is more associated with, like, Trumpy shit, you know.
Right.
So if you have. So there's not a lot of crossover, but the information and training they have is highly useful to us, and the open-mindedness and stuff that we have is highly useful to them.
Right.
And it just kind of, so it's kind of a little bridge that we got going on, but he's always talking about, you know, well, that's kind of what we're trying to do is bridge that gap. Cause it's hard. I love guns, but I've been in many gun stores, and the guy selling a gun is just being a total douchebag to the woman who's trying to buy a gun.
Right.
And she just wants to buy a gun. She wants to give him money. You know what I mean? Like, literally.
And I've never understood that. Exactly. They come in with the, I'm going to give you money.
Yeah, and your job is to take my money and give me a gun.
Right.
And he's just, well, I don't know, lady, if you can handle the recoil on that. And I, you know, a lot of women like this one over that one. And
sure you don't want to see the pink or purple one?
Yeah, the pink or purple one or this. And, oh, make sure you just, and they just let the girl buy the Glock 19 she wanted. You know what I mean? She'll trade with it. Or, I mean, Charlotte is a small statured girl. Like, she's tiny hands. She's very little.
Right.
And she absolutely can handle shooting a gun. Like, it's not, you know what I mean? Like, she's trained and she's good. So it's not, people freak out over that stuff, I think. But so whenever I see that, I'm like, oh, that sucks. You know what I mean? Because that lady might have, you know, needed more help, you know?
Right. And I think it's the stereotype, and it's assuming that, you know, that, oh, she's a girl and she doesn't know what she's doing.
Right.
That she's a petite, quiet person like Charlotte is.
Right.
Because, I mean, if she walks up on you and you had never met her before and she starts speaking to you, you're like, this little girl is scared of her own shadow.
Right.
There's no way she can ever do anything to help herself. She's probably this weird little nerd who's never had sex, and we all know that's bullshit.
Yeah, no, she's a badass.
Because, but that's the thing, is that the fact that people judge the book by the cover and they're just assuming shit, especially about females.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I mean, guys get shit too, but we also, we don't get assaulted as much. You know what I mean? Right. Or, like, I can go take an Uber anytime I want and I'm never going to get scared for my life.
Right.
You know what I mean? In an Uber. I don't have to deal with that. But Charlotte, anytime she gets an Uber, she wonders, is this guy going to get creepy on me?
You know? Right.
So I don't mind much about the shit we get, you know?
Right.
It's crazy. Every time I go to the bank with her, I didn't even know this was a thing. She goes in to deposit a check. They ask her, what do you do for work? Where's this money from? You know what I mean?
They do.
I'd never seen that before. And she goes, no, they don't do that to you? And I was like,
no.
Fuck no. They just take my money. Like, but she's a young, hot chick with tattoos. So they ask her, where's the money from?
Right.
And it's just it's a different world. You know what I mean? Like, she has to come up with some bullshit. You know what I mean? It's just weird. So
I've never heard that before.
Yeah. Like, it's.
We do all of our banking online. So now I'm going to talk to the wife and be like, hey, because I want to see. I'll go to the fucking bank and deposit some money.
Right.
Especially if you go in there and, because it's, I mean, as performers, especially if you sit on the money for a little bit and you don't go check by check and you.
Yeah.
You go in and dump a big amount at one time.
Yeah.
I can understand them saying, hey, you're coming in here and, you know, this is $5,000 to $10,000 worth of money.
Right.
But it's still nobody's fucking business.
It's none of their business. If it's, and there's people, the teller, it's not their job to look for money laundering. They have a guy that does that. You know what I mean?
Right.
He works in a call center or whatever, you know. They're just, I think they're just trying to make conversation maybe, but it's on their mind. Like, they're just exposing themselves as being a little judgy is what's happening.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, ooh, this young tattooed girl. Why is she putting $2,000 in here? You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, what did she do to get this much money?
Like, more than me. Because you know what I mean? Like, why does she, what the fuck does she have all that money? Like, maybe it's that, I don't know. But
people like to throw shade, too. Yeah, I feel like. The people that don't understand, or people that, it's just jealous. People who don't want to put in the work.
Yeah.
I feel like are the ones who, they're like, I, like, kind of what you were, and not to throw shade on the people that you worked with, but it's like, you don't want to put the effort into getting to where you want to be.
Yeah.
The first thing you're going to do is throw shade on someone who did.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I see that a lot. It, with the, yeah, definitely. With the movement of porn going to independent content creators, as far as like what populates porn now, you know what I mean? Right. Now it's not mostly, but more and more independent content creators. There's a lot of like, you see that someone else is successful, so people try to tear them down. You know what I mean? And it, that kind of sucks. But
it does.
But the, it's better to be the successful person that has all the money and get shade thrown at them than to, you know what I mean?
And that's the
better
thing
to
too,
be in that boat.
Because you know? There is one out there that we all know who is definitely, that's his thing, is to kind of make everyone want to look at him. And he's fine carrying the thing of the most hated guy in porn,
right,
or whatever
right,
people
right.
want to call him. But I was talking with a model about him specifically. And when, and I've always kind of knew this, but when it was pointed out to me, it really made me realize it. And I was like, you know, there's this and there's this and there's this. And she was like, but JP, you're talking about him right now. So he's winning. And I was like, I get it.
Yeah, I 100%
get it.
But, yeah.
But, and it's true. It's because, you know what, you can get mad all day long. And it's not the mad at the success. It's more of the way things are, certain things are handled. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
But it still is. I mean, it's like you throwing shade's throwing shade. I don't give a fuck for whatever level it is. You're still throwing shade.
Oh, yeah.
So to be in, but I would never hate anyone for success. I would like, dude, if you get it, get it. I'm going to support you. I'm going to help get you up there and help keep you up there if it's at all possible.
Oh, totally. If I have a good buddy, Alex Adams, most people don't even know his name, which is astounding because he's the most viewed person on Pornhub. Like more than Lana Rhodes, more than James Dean, more than anyone. He's, if you go to Pornhub and just sort, click the porn stars button and then sort by most viewed of all time, you get him, right? Just some guy, Alex Adams, right? Lives in Fort Lauderdale. You know what I mean? He used to do a lot of kink stuff, gay stuff at Kink, but now he does like taboo incest stuff. And he just makes it home and throws it on there. And that guy makes more money than most people I know. He makes more money than most big companies I know. You know what I mean? Just balling the fuck out. And people don't know who he is, but he just works his butt off.
And he keeps his head down.
And he keeps his head down. And he does his job. His social media is, he's vegan and he jokes about it. So it's all like vegan memes. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's his social media presence. That's his brand, right?
Is he on Twitter right now?
Yeah, yeah. It's like Vegan Overlord or something like that. Oh, no, his Twitter is Alex Adams XXX.
Okay.
Which he wasn't even going to have a Twitter, but I shot him for my thing once. And I was like, bro, can I just make you a Twitter just so you have it so I can tag you and stuff? And he's like, okay. So, but that's his level of, people put all this emphasis on their social media clout. And then meanwhile, he's crushing it and doesn't give a fuck. You know what I mean? So he works his butt off. That's the whole thing.
Alex Adams, there it is.
Yeah, yeah. He, and it's real simple. And he's like, yeah, I don't know why everybody just doesn't do what I do. He came over to my house for a shoot when he was just doing talent stuff. I shot him for Man Up. He's bi, you know what I mean? So he does, but he likes, you know, girls and guys. So I shot him for Man Up.
Holy fuck.
And he saw what I was doing. And he was like, well, maybe I should do this. And I was like, dude, you totally should. You just buy the cheapest camera you can and just shoot whatever you want.
Right.
And then he went home. He looked on clips for sale on Pornhub in the ranking system. What's most viewed? What's the top 50 clip? And went through that and was like, well, what out of this can I make? You know what I mean?
Right.
And then shot it, tried a few things. Tried gay stuff, straight stuff, this, that stuff. The taboo stuff, he did really well with it. And he was like, well, I guess we'll make that. And then he just built his business around that. And then constantly looks at the Pornhub, what's being most viewed? How can I make that? What are the titles? What are the, who's the model? You know, how can I beat that? And just competes for the most views and he gets the most rev share. So he gets the most money. You know what I mean?
This is insane to me because I'm looking at
he's,
and it's, guy, he calls himself Guy with a Handicam, and it's got FamilyTherapyTripleX.com.
Yeah.
And yeah, and it shows, you know, porn star rank, video views, and subscribers.
Right.
So first I'm going to say, just I'll read out to everybody that's listening. He's ranked 71 on porn star rank, so he's down, it says, from whatever.
As far as for the popularity. Popularity one.
But he has 286,000 subscribers.
Yeah, totally. 1.8 billion views.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He's now at 2 billion.
Two billion views.
Two billion. Yeah. But the fact he has 286,000 subscribers, if this was a pay site and it was $5 per person, he can stop working after a year.
Oh, yeah.
Because if it were $5 a month at 280, fucking shit.
Yeah. So when he puts something up there, and that's literally, that's not social media. There's no big affiliate behind him.
He's got
no big company.
He's got 8,610 followers. Yeah. He's one of the biggest stars on Pornhub, and he's got less than 10,000 followers on Twitter. Yeah. That just blows my mind.
Look at the most viewed ranking, though. If you rank by most, I don't know if it'll let you do it on his phone. But he's...
Should I just lower one?
Yeah, he might have gone down one. But he, last time I checked, he was, it was him, then Lana Rhodes, then James Dean, I think, as far as like the most. And he had half a billion more than James Dean, whichever is, who's a household name, and no one knows this guy.
Oh, I'm not logged in on this. I just set up one on my site.
Yeah, the dude's crushing it. And people freak out over like, I need more followers on Twitter, my Instagram, or so-and-so's in a press release, or, you know, why'd they get the box cover and not me? You know what I mean? Meanwhile, this dude, last time I called him, I was like, how's your day going? And he was like, man, I'm a little bummed. The newest Lamborghini, the fastest one, the doors open out. They don't open up. And I want to buy it, but I'm not going to buy a Lamborghini if the doors don't go up like a Lamborghini should. So it's just kind of stressing me out because I want the fat. I could get the cheaper one and the doors go up. But he's like, just don't get rich, man. It's hard. You know what I mean?
First
and
I was problems. Like,
that's your biggest problem. I mean, the dude is killing it. And
his biggest problem right now is he wants this car, but the doors don't open the way he wants.
Doesn't exist the way he wants. So
I mean, I agree with him on that, though.
Yeah, yeah. He's right. I mean, they should open that way. But yeah, that's a dude who did no funding, none of that, and just dedicated. And he's also a giant I mean, this dude, he will be holding the camera thinking about what to shoot next, and he's got like a total like sweatpants boner. You know what I mean?
Right.
While he's like, a dude is into porn, which helps. You got to be horny and respectful, and you know, he's kind to everybody and all that stuff. So,
and that's
helps.
A huge thing.
Huge. People do want to work with him. You know what I mean?
Right.
Which is cool. So,
And I think that's one of the problems that we've got right now in this industry is that we've got so many people who are doing it because they want the following. They
want
the clout.
Yeah.
They want to say that they're a director.
Right.
And it drives me, and I bitch about it all the time to people that'll listen because it is. Like when you earn it and you work like you have and like I have and you do all of these things to get to a point and become a successful director, producer, you know how to treat people,
right.
You know how to handle talent, you know how to do all of these things that we do as directors, and then along comes someone who figured out what button to push and how to aim a camera, and suddenly they're calling themselves directors, and it's like, that's not a title you could, well, clearly you can throw it around.
Right.
It drives me fucking crazy.
Yeah. I'm making a feature soon, which I never thought I'd do, I don't know why I'm doing it, mostly just almost like as a joke, because I know I'm on all these feature films that like kind of regularly. Someone books me and I'll end up on someone else's feature film. And we spend all day making this thing that's like the director's vision. And it's not like the one you just made was your vision that you had. It was your art that you were expressing and it was really fucking cool, right? But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like, someone wants to say they're a director and a great writer, but they can't hack it in real world movies, so they write a porn script. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they get someone to fund their thing, and then they spend all day making everybody wait around on set for them to figure out what to do next. Meanwhile, the DP, the director of photography, does all the directing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they're just kind of looking in a monitor sometimes. And it's just, I'm not hating on them, but it's a funny thing. You know what I mean? It's kind of a silly thing. And then that person's name is on the DVD. You know what I mean? Like they did all the work when really they just kind of are a name. And,
well, there's people that do that though. They throw that name around and they stick it on a box because they want to. I mean, there's movies that have come out. There was one several years ago that came out. And I was like, I want to go see it because it's a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Turns out
Quentin Tarantino just put his name on it. He didn't direct it.
He
wasn't on set.
Yeah.
And I almost was like crazy about it because I was like, this is... But he presented. Just like when they did the documentary on kink.com, James Franco presents.
He put a name on it.
He put his name on it to help give it a little...
Yeah.
Which is cool, too.
Super cool what happens. Yeah.
Well, yeah, when you get someone who does it, they're like, hey, I really believe in what you're doing. And I'm going to be behind this, but this isn't mine. I'm just sticking my name on it to help this person or to give it a little more, put a little stank on it,
just saying I like it. Yeah.
Right.
But I, so anyway, I'm gonna, my goal to make this feature is I'm gonna make it the easiest feature ever made. That's my goal. So I wanna shoot the whole thing, hopefully in 4 hours, and I'm gonna make it an hour and a half movie. And it's, I don't know if I'm gonna actually get it done in 4 hours, but that's my plan. And I'm gonna do it with no script and no no like shot list or anything. My theory is, if you don't care about it being groundbreaking, amazing film, right? You just, the goal is to have a feature level porn, right? Then
you which could, is what, 5 to 7 sex scenes and about an hour and a half, yeah, 2 hour length
of like plot and some shit. And
sometimes plot, sometimes there's, it's just,
yeah, sex, sometimes there's sex, no plot or anything. But I want to have a little plot in there and then some dialogue. But if I cut out the part where there's a script and there's no shot list, then I can just show up at any studio with the models and a suitcase full of wardrobe, right? And makeup people, get everything set up, and then start looking around and being like, well, that corner looks kind of cool and lit, and I have this outfit who would look good on you, so maybe that means you're an astronaut, because this is an astronaut outfit. And then it kind of just wing it, you know what I mean?
Right.
I'm pretty sure I could make a feature-length porn in 4 hours. And
it would be artsy.
It would be artsy, and then I think it'll be funny. And then the only thing I want, I bought donkey ears, so I think Bunny Colby is going to be a donkey in it. That's the only, because you got to start somewhere. It helps with improv if you have like,
right,
you're starting with this. So she's going to be Night Donkey, which is like a hooker that got bit by a donkey during a solar eclipse or some shit. So she has donkey powers. And we're not going to talk about what the donkey powers are until we come up with them in the movie. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck are donkey powers? But she's going to get in adventures. You know what I mean?
I love this.
And that's the plan.
So there's a main star.
There's a main star, Bunny. And then I love shooting Bunny Colby. She's like one of my favorite people to shoot because she gives the perfect amount of fuck. Like, you know what I mean? As far as not giving a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, she's not overly like, I'm here and we're going to make this the best production ever. And it's like kind of fake, you know? Right. She's just like, yeah, I'll be there. I'll make it hot. All right, cool. And then as soon as you're done, she's like, good to go. I mean, she's so independent. You know what I mean? Like, do you need a ride to the airport? Yeah, I got some friends. I'll see you later. You know what I mean? Just
is she perfect. Local? A Bunny?
Bunny Colby. She's in L.A.
Okay.
So she's just a badass. She's the girl that sued Derek to get out of the crazy shit and won. So she, for L.A. Direct.
Yeah.
Like, she went to war. And which I really admire, she set an example for what people can do. I don't know the whole backstory, so I shouldn't really talk about that. But I just know she felt like she was getting pushed around by an agency and said, fuck that, and saved up her money and lawyered up and fought him and won. Right. You know what I mean? Which I think is cool. It sets a precedent. You know
and
what I mean?
Like, don't look fuck what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, where the girls came out, and I think there was... Was there 9 Jane Does?
I think there was a bunch.
I think there was 9 of them who, I don't know if he's officially taken down yet.
I don't know.
I know the agency's still around, but I think he removed himself from the agency to, or at least distanced himself far enough to where he's not, I'm sure he still makes money off of it, but it's not what it used to be. It's not the things and the bad shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all I know is she was told, you'll never get out of this situation. Like, we have got you. You know what
they
I mean?
Always have
whatever
told that.
That is. And she fought her way to freedom. You know what I mean? Which
and
is
that's
just
powerful.
Badass. And did it with just working hard. You know what I mean? Like, literally, well, how much money do I need? I'll work hard and I'll get that and then I'll pay for it. Fuck it. Right. She wasn't like, Daddy, give me my GoFundMe so I can get out of the, you know, she fucking.
She did it on her own.
Cowgirled up and did it, you know? So I think that's badass. And also, she's great to shoot. And also, she has great tits, which is cool. So
that helps. That always
really
helps a lot.
And super sweet lady. So Bunny's Night Donkey. And then, I don't know. We're going to wing it from there. But that's my new thing. It might end up just being a bunch of scenes if I fail at the feature.
But that
thing.
Would still be way, really
money,
cool.
You know what I mean? So it'll, you know.
I like that idea because it is. And the funny thing is you could go into it almost as a fuck you.
Right.
Let's see what I can pull off in the shortest amount of time possible.
Yeah.
And then people see it and be like, this is groundbreaking.
Groundbreaking.
And you're like, but I was, that's not what I was going for.
I just want to wing it and then see. And then if it works, maybe I can make it a little better the next time. But I was just, this week, I was on set for a director I really do like. It was just an unfortunate series of events. I was working with Ricky Greenwood. Great guy. Love that guy. Events out of his control caused me and my scene partner, our call time was noon, but we didn't start till 8 p.m. Right?
Right.
So just, it happens. Shit happens, you know? And I wasn't mad that day, but there's been other directors where it's totally their fault. Like, you know what I mean? You were like, God damn, you told me to be here at noon ready for anal and we're not starting for 10 hours, you know? Because you can't decide which part to light first, you know? Like, that's it. That happens.
You're going without food. You've been without food for how long now? You're starting to get weak. Yeah. I'm assuming, I've never seen anyone come into my set and be like, hey, we're doing anal today. I'm totally prepped. Where's the coffee? Stay away from anything you really want.
Yeah. So, and like, I eat a little if I'm bottoming, but I don't eat what I want to eat. You know what I mean? I get a little grumpy eventually. After 10 hours, it's bad. And they get, if they have enough clout, people put up with it, you know? And it's the DP. It's always the hire a really good DP who knows how to run the camera and everything. And that guy gets no credit, or that girl. You know what I mean? And meanwhile, the director is just fucking around all day. And you know what I mean?
It's fucking not, with the talent.
Yeah, joking around, talking shit about other directors, doing whatever they do.
Right.
Meanwhile, everyone's literally waiting for like, hey, can we hit the record button and just shoot something? You know what I mean? Like, come on.
I don't get it. And I've heard so many horror stories. There's one particularly that I've never been on a set, so I don't know to be fact, but every person that's ever been on this person's set says that whatever your day rate is, he is going to get 23 hours and 59 minutes before he even thinks about giving you another rate.
Right, which is crazy.
And it's like, okay, at about a 12-hour mark, we need to start talking about different rates.
At least 12,
Not sooner, but 12, that's if there's a bunch of story in this.
There's a bunch of shit,
But at the same time, I feel like it's like, if you're gonna do, going back to the anal, if you're going to do an anal day and you're planning an anal day, you start first thing in the morning because it's going to just be sex and it's just going to be anal. It's not going to be, let's figure it out. And if you show up at 8 o'clock, that means I should have been there at 6:30. Yeah. So I'm ready when you walk in. I'm like, fill out your paperwork, do your makeup. Let's get to fucking work.
Yeah. And you can do, and I've heard people say, well, I don't want to do the sex first thing in the day because then the dialogue is going to be poor because everyone's so tired from the sex. But I'm like, so out of the two things that you're going to pick to sacrifice in a porn movie, which is made for jerking off,
which is about sex,
you don't want to sacrifice your beautiful dialogue that you wrote on a script that that people are skipping over. You know what I mean?
That people are fast forwarding through.
Yeah, but you'll sacrifice the anal performance, you know, and it's crazy.
And then bitch, and then complain and be like, why are you having like, you know, swamp ass or whatever?
Why aren't you anal
ready? Sherry Torrin called it best. What did she used to call it? Was it swamp? It wasn't swamp ass. What was it she used to call it? Fuck, I can't remember now. Maybe.
Yeah, but like it gets, that's the hot part needs to be the priority. And then it doesn't even have to necessarily make sense, the plot. I mean, it should, but I guess, but like people skip over it. People don't watch porn necessarily from 00 to, you know, 120. They skip around for the hot parts and then maybe they watch it, you know what I mean?
And then at the end of the day, I mean, I feel like most people warm up as they're clicking around and they find that 10 to 15 seconds and that's the way I am. That's the way I've been my entire life. Even back with the VHS, you know, and then hit play again.
Yeah, I have videos that I bought that it's literally, I've never watched the whole thing. I skimmed over it till I found the girl in the right, she's like, her body's in the thing that makes me horny. You know what I mean? She's in that pose with the pantyhose and the whatever that I like. And she says that one thing about she wants to like kick me in the balls or whatever. You know what I mean? Like whatever is my kink that day. And I watched that 2 seconds. And you know what I mean? Just keep watching it until I come. I mean, that's generally how that works. But
I feel like that's the way most people are. And it's finding it's being able to, I mean, that's when you do the, you know, we're going to do doggy for so many minutes. We're going to do mish for so many minutes. We're going to do cowboy or cowgirl or whatever. We're going to float through all these positions because we need to make sure that anybody that's jerking off of this is going to find their 10-second mark.
They're
going to
find their 10 seconds. And one thing I thought was really cool about the derelict was you had people that really wanted to be there. You know what I mean? That really wanted to work with you. And you did, from what Charlotte told me, there were some long days, but it was like everybody was in it together and they wanted to be there.
Right.
You know what I mean? This wasn't like, and they knew what they were getting into. You know what I mean? And it wasn't some surprise, like their agent just told them, oh, we're doing a shoot. And then, wait, I'm out in a desert? What the fuck is this? You know what I mean? Like, you had all the pieces there to make that, like, awesome, you know? Which I thought...
And I think that, to me...
It came out in the movie when I watched it. I was like, oh, these people are fucking into this. They're not...
And I think that's the same thing with being a director, being a manager, being someone who leads in whatever capacity. Yeah. I feel like to do something, especially of that magnitude, because it was huge. I mean, that was a big undertaking.
That's a big undertaking.
And to do that, everyone has to buy in. Everyone has to believe in that project as much, if not more. And that way it works, because there's always going to be a moment at some point when you're doing something that big to where you're like, fuck, I'm in over my head. Or you start getting self-doubt, or you start questioning your moves or something. And everyone's like, no, 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 no. Then everyone piles around you and is like, get the fuck out of that and let's go finish what we got to do.
Yeah. It's just like Charlotte's been, she's talked about it a lot since she did it. And she, like when the preview came out, she was like, please watch this preview. I'm really proud of it. And you know, she doesn't do that with other porn that she makes.
Right.
You know, maybe when she did Quadruple Anal or something. You know what I mean? Like other,
well, that one's,
but there's big, big marks that she'll want to know what her husband thinks about it. You know what I mean? Which is kind of, which I think says a lot.
It does, yeah.
And there, and normally, if she's, I'm the same way, if I do something that's really hard or a hard shoot, I don't necessarily remember the good parts. I remember the, fuck me, that was a long day. But that's not how she felt about it, which means everybody was into it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Which is really cool.
I used to get my videographer, Christmas Disco, he used to get him, I did it with Deception. I did the same, sorry. Shedding gray hair everywhere over here.
It happens.
With Deception, I did it, and the same thing with Derelict. Like, and when I sell it, when I go to the CEO, I'm like, you know, I'm going to do this thing, and there's a blah, blah, blah. And I start talking about it like it's already been made. Like, I've got all the contracts. Like, I've been double paid what I'm going to get. And I start talking about, like, getting the awards, and he was like, you haven't even finished writing it. Stop talking about going on stage and getting an award. And I was like, if I don't believe in it that much that it's going to go that far, you won't, and they won't, and no one's gonna get behind me on this. But if I come to you and I'm like, this is, I've got a script software that I use Celtics.
Okay.
And I recently, within the last 6 months, decided I wanted to start working on a new script. I haven't gotten far at all, but I was like, I need a working title. So the working title is AVN Movie of the Year 2021.
That's good.
Yeah. And that's the working title.
That's the working title. Yeah.
And when I showed them, they were like, what the fuck's wrong with you? I was like, I'm going to get it. Like, I'm not going after BDSM. I'm not going after Thriller. I want all of it. I want the biggest fucking thing.
Fuck yeah.
And I want people to sit back and go, kink.com.
Right.
Wait a minute. They make that bondage in S&M shit. What are they doing taking this?
Yeah.
Because to me, if all of these vanilla companies are trying to do this S&M and do rough sex,
why can't you do it with their shit?
Why can't I do vanilla porn?
Yeah. No, totally. Absolutely. Yeah, I saw that there was a category for best fetish film this year, and I got super pumped because I'm a fetish guy. And I was like, oh, a category for me. And then I was like, oh, shit, this is the year Deeper started. You know what I mean? So, of course, they made a category. You know, I'm not saying that that was for them or whatever, but I went to ABN where I put my DVDs and shit, or VODs, and I was like, okay, out of these, what might maybe be the best, you know? Right. And I clicked on fetish, and it's like 4 pages of Deeper before you can find my shit. And I was like, oh, well, motherfucker. I'm not going to win.
But. And that's the thing, too, is like you've got, and I've got this pinned, I think I'm going to, I quote this often on here. I'm going to pull it up so I can read it specifically. And it's aimed at situations like that, because it is. It's like you've got these vanilla people that are doing, and you know what? The more the merrier.
Do it. Yeah, but, no, it brings us gravity, which is good. I'm not hating on Deeper at all. And I haven't actually seen it. Maybe it's really hot and I would jerk off to it if I watched it.
There's opinions about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like it's because you've got mainstream people who feel that, well, I've succeeded so well at this and I'm going to try and tap into something, and which is great. But tap with the people that know what they're doing. Don't take people who have no idea what they're doing. And not to say that people at Deeper don't, because I don't know them personally.
Right.
So anyway, at the head of my, like, I've got pinned on Twitter, is the difference between us and them is we are professionals and they're wannabes. That's all right, I said it.
Right.
It's a skill that took years to learn. BDSM is more than a fad to sell your porn.
Right.
And that's the way I feel about it. I've got a bunch of smart-ass hashtags like stay in your lane, get back on the porch, and leave it to the pros.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm also kind of, that's what who I am. But the thing is, again, I don't mind if you're going to do it, but do it safely. Do it intelligently.
And if
you're just doing it because you're like, well, they're over there making this much money, and that's something that hasn't been tapped into, I'm going to try it. Learn what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And just because you see me doing it or you doing it or anyone else that does this stuff,
right?
It does, just because we're doing it and you've never heard of us or we're not as big as you are, doesn't mean that you can just do what we do.
Well, and I like where you're thinking, if they're doing that, why don't I get into their world too? You know,
right.
I've been kind of thinking that. Like, I'm sponsoring one award show this season. just to see what you get for that. Because I don't know. I've never done it. You know what I mean? Like, right. I mean, I've sponsored night moves, but that's a different thing. You know what I mean? They're nice, but it's very cheap to buy. You know, it's like $200 you
can sponsor. Right.
But this year, I put some money into that just to see what happens when you go with whatever it is. I don't know. I think of them as the cool kids in porn, but it's not. You know, what the popular
mainstream.
The mainstream. Yeah. What happens when you do that? You know, do you get
blacklisted because you pissed them off?
Do you, yeah, or like, do you, is there like a secret dinner you get to go to? Or I don't know, you know what I mean? Like, probably not, but like, what, why do they do that? Like, they do that just like they're saying, why do these freaks do BDSM and fetish? There must be something in it. So they're doing it. They're obviously doing it.
Right.
I want to start thinking, well, what are they getting at? That's why I'm making DVDs and VODs. I'm like, well, what? I've never done that because I just make money with clips and memberships, but maybe there's a reason they do that shit. So
it's,
I'm starting.
It's more revenue.
Yeah, I'm just looking at more, and then is it profitable? And let's see. So I think it's good. It's just like I was saying, like my friend John Johnson said, the world's better and bigger if we all talk to each other. Right. And also if we all look into, like, with empathy, like what's going on with deeper there? You know what I mean? Like, maybe.
But here's the thing with this, and I've heard different things, and again, it's not for me to cast that shadow or whatever, whatever fancy way I can say, throw shade. But I've heard mixed reviews about it. And the thing that gets me is that if you're going to do it well.
Right. There's that.
Do your homework. Learn what you're doing and be safe, especially because this isn't just, hey, go climb on that rock in the middle of the pool and I'm going to yell action and everybody's ready to go.
Yeah.
Like, you're putting people in bondage. You're putting people in situations that... It's mentally challenging enough for people to get naked and put sex in front of a bunch of people on camera. Because at the end of the day, you're being as primal as you can possibly be in front of the world, for the world to see. So you take that, but then when you take situations that are mentally, that are heavier on you as far as doing BDSM or doing something to where, like, when you're working with me and there's this whole aspect of, like, this mental mind fuckery that happens, that you have to get in the state of mind that's like, here's someone who I trust 110%, and now he's going to torture me to where I am screaming I am begging for him to stop, and I'm crying, and he's not going to stop. And obviously it's consensual, and I do stop when they need me to, but to be put in that, that's not just something you turn on and off. That's something that there's recovery time, and there's you know, there's, you need to be able to be in the right state of mind to do it, and then you need to be in the right state of mind to continue to do it. And so for me, people that are just fucking around because it's a fad for them, that's what pisses me off.
Yeah, I can definitely see that, for sure.
It's like the guy that he used to be the... set dresser back at Kink. You probably knew him. Shorter guy, glasses, always dressed in black.
Yeah.
He was in the documentary, and he did this great statement about, like, us. He was like, basically, if the porn industry were a lunchroom, the BDSM is like the goth kids.
Yeah.
And then vanilla is all the preps and the cool kids.
Right.
And he's like, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to be like, oh, shit, that's cool. So one of the cool kids are going to come sit at our table.
Right.
As long as they sit here and talk with us about what we're doing.
Right,
but if they come over here and start talking about football and cheerleading, and we're like, but we're goth kids. Not that goth kids can't be cheerleaders of football.
Yeah.
But you see what I'm saying? The analogy is basically, we're cool if you sit at our table, and we're honored that you sit at our table, but don't force your shit down our throat.
Yeah,
don't come over here and act like you suddenly know what it's like to be us when you just sat down.
Yeah. No, there's that, for sure. There's definitely that. I mean, I think in the end of the day, it's how they're being a more fetishy thing. Like when 50 Shades of Grey came out, I think that overall helped fetish porn sell. You know what I mean? Or BDSM sell.
It made people look towards us.
Yeah, it made them look. Just like I'm a gun guy. Every time a new really, like a John Wick movie comes out, people buy more guns and people train more. You know what I mean? Even though I love Keanu Reeves, he's fucking awesome. He did train a lot for that movie, but a lot of it's very unrealistic. You know what I mean? It's just, if you really shoot guns a lot, you're going to be like, oh, what? That doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? It's a movie. You know what I mean? But I love it when that happens because more people get interested. You know what I mean? So it's good overall. You know?
It is. It definitely, even with deeper, and not that everything's just so you fuckers know, not that everything I said was aimed at deeper by any means.
Right.
It's, you know, because people, again, the more the merrier. The more money any of us can make doing this, and the more exposure we can get. That opens that little box that we're all sitting in and hiding, anytime someone can crack it open for whatever reason. And if it is deeper that's doing it, and it makes people, because 50 Shades of Grey and anybody that's into BDSM is instantly like, that's rapey shit, and it's not rapey in that fun kind of way. It's very non-consensual shit.
Right.
But it still made people go, well, I want to find some more porn like this. This is hot enough reading this silly little book that, it's... And I want to find something crazier. And now I feel like maybe that deeper is doing a little more of opening that box to where people are like, okay, this is fetishy. So now I want to dig a little deeper, because there's still people that I get, and I don't get a lot of fan mail, but I still get people who say things like, watching your porn is what made me realize that I wasn't weird. Watching your porn made me feel confident.
Yeah. I love those emails. I get it. And if there's, so the internet's amazing. I consider it a miracle for humanity as far as information. But if you don't know what to search for, you're not going to learn anything.
Right.
So if they, I don't know if the average whoever before 50 Shades of Grey knew what BDSM was, like knew those initials, or safe word, if they knew what that was.
Right. They knew S&M.
If they knew S&M, or if they knew a lot of things, you know what I mean? So just having a word for it, it's huge. Like when I started shooting pegging, girls fucking guys with strap-ons, pegging wasn't as much of a search term. It was, 10 years ago, it was girl fucks guy with strap-on. You had to have that in your keywords or your title. Otherwise, it was just strap-on, which included lesbian strap-on.
Or it was some derogatory bullshit.
Yeah. And then pegging, I think it's thanks to Brittany Andrews. At least she told me she's pushed that word a lot because she likes pegging. And she had a big enough name and enough clout for people to say, oh, that's what you call that? Okay, cool. You know what I mean? So that, just having a word is so powerful. No matter where the word comes from, even if it's an insult, you know what I mean? It's a word. It is.
It definitely is. And I agree with that, because once you find that, because my thing was, I didn't know what it was.
Right.
I didn't know what BDSM was. I didn't know what consensual torture was.
Right.
I knew that from as long as I can remember being sexually active, before I was sexually active with just myself.
Yeah.
But when I had sexual thoughts, I always had really sadistic stuff. And not out of control, like I'm going to physically go beyond into illegal shit. But I knew, and I would, briefly tell people this story, I want to tell you something, but it's weird, so don't judge me. You keep it super quiet. And I would tell them how I wanted to do these things to people. But when I got through doing it and watching their face and seeing them cry and seeing them beg and seeing the agony. All right, well, cool. Let's go have a beer.
So no
one was really hurt. And then all of a sudden I found this thing called BDSM that I had never heard of until I got into the industry.
Right.
And I was like, wait a minute, I get to do this? Because it was never to permanently hurt someone. It was always to have an experience and everyone walk away from it happy and go have a beer, or not necessarily, but everyone walked away happy and in a good mood. And I was like, this is real. Like, this is what I get to do.
Right.
And now I get to do this for a living and show the world that there's this place that it's not dark and it's not in alleys and it's more acceptable than most people know. And it's probably one of the most therapeutic things you can do sexually.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Sex is good no matter what.
Sure.
But I feel like pushing yourself and being, because you've topped and bottomed, you've been all around. And I feel like to go be put through a situation like that on the bottom, the walking away from that, and obviously you're fragile because you've been tortured a lot.
Sure.
But you at the same time seem to have this empowerment that I fucking did that. It sucks. I'm a little weak because I'm a little fragile because of what I just went through, but I made it. I'm on the other side.
Oh, yeah. No, there's huge parts of that. There's, I didn't know, like the first time I was subbing next to another sub, just because of circumstance, I'd only subbed alone. And then suddenly I was in a shoot where it's me and like three other guys all subbing.
Right.
You know what I mean? That was an amazing experience, because when I wasn't getting hit and tortured and the guy next to me was, I learned a lot about myself. I instantly wanted them to hit me instead of him, to give him a break.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know I had that brotherly, whatever, empathy. Instinct that, like, where I would yell out, like, fuck you, hit me. You know what I mean? Like that. I did not see that coming. You know, where that just came out. If anything, I would have guessed, like, well, I'm generally selfish and, oh, I get a break, they're hitting him. You know what I mean?
But thank God they left me alone.
Yeah, leave me alone. Hit that guy a little bit. But no, that was a reaction that came from deep within, where I was like, no, hit me, fuck that. You know what I mean? I didn't know that. That was cool. I learned about myself.
Right.
In the bond I've had with other people torturing each other, we got like a, yeah, something going on.
Oh, yeah, somebody's flushing the toilet or something upstairs.
Oh, okay, cool. Gotcha.
Yeah, they should. It's background noise. Sorry, guys.
Background noise.
I don't have the money to actually have a soundproof studio yet.
That's all right. But William Gay BDSM, I've learned a lot about myself as a man, just being with other men, torturing men, being tortured. You know what I mean? That changed me in ways it's hard to describe, you know?
Ariel X, who I'm sure you're familiar with.
Oh, yeah, I love her.
Everything about her, she's a badass.
Oh, totally
she's
badass.
I've done things with her where I've tried to humiliate her, and I've tried to do this, and I've tried to do that, and she has just enough vanity that there's nothing. You stretch her face and you put her in these fucked up situations, and she's like, I'm still the hottest motherfucker I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I love that about her.
Yeah.
And I put her through the training of O, even though she doesn't do boy-girl stuff, and so I did this lesbian. I brought in a bunch of femdoms and female trainers, and I finally figured out a way to break her after years of working with her, and nothing would break her because she enjoys the pain. She enjoys the suffering. She enjoys all because she's such an athlete. That just is another thing for her to say, got that too.
Yeah, totally.
And it's similar to you. We brought a girl down when I was running the upper floor in training, but when I had the slaves upstairs.
Yeah.
I brought the head slave down, who was Christy Chaos at the time.
Right.
And back in Victorian days, the wealthy children had whipping boys.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I brought Krista down to be the whipping girl.
Yeah.
So I looked at Ariel and I was like, every time you fuck up, she gets hit. And tears rolled.
Oh, my God.
And it was similar to that. So, I'd forgotten about that story forever. And that was throughout the day. We did that until the end when Krista was finally allowed to be her.
Yeah.
She was, and of course, it was all part of the story.
Yeah.
So it went from her being the very obedient slave to taking everything she was given and taking the responsibility for her, for Ariel fucking up, to suddenly going, you fucking bitch.
Right.
Every time I got hit was because you fucked up. And
right.
To watch little bitty Krista do this to Ariel, and Ariel just sobbed.
She just broke
and
down.
I just sat there, and it was like, to me, it was beautiful.
Oh,
because it was to finally find a button to push that was so heavy on her.
Yeah.
And we pulled back instantly. Once I realized that it was enough, I was like, I'm not trying to destroy her. I'm just trying I wanted to break her down.
Yeah.
This fucker just keeps going.
Yeah.
Anyway, at the end of it, when we sat there and talked about it in the interview, like when I said, we brought Krista down and she starts crying. And I'm like, oh, no. I was like, I can't have you like this right now. She's like, just hold on a minute. And like, it still, to this day, if you talk about it, tears her apart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a weird, how do you know about that about yourself? Maybe if you've been in war or you're a cop or something. I mean, we're just that.
But for the first time.
What is your connection to other humans?
Right.
You know, if you get into that level of fear. I don't know how you would know that about yourself.
Right.
You know?
I hope that's not that loud. Sorry, guys. I got a neighbor upstairs who's doing some ridiculous shit.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. It's registering, but not as loud as us. So
okay, cool. Got it.
Hopefully this mic is here and not there, so it's more. People are probably listening going, what noise are they talking about?
Right, right.
It's an expensive mic.
Right.
It was a crazy thing that happened, and it's crazy to see people go through something like that, especially, like you said, when you don't know it. When you don't know it about yourself, and all of a sudden you get put in the situation, and you're like, fuck!
Right. And there's, and stuff like I didn't know, like lust is probably the best painkiller there is. You know what I mean? If you're really horny, you don't have a headache all of a sudden, you know?
Right.
So learning that from porn, and then over time learning how do I use that? You know what I mean? How do I use a little bit of lust and a little bit of aggression to get me through shit?
Right.
And it doesn't even have to be sex. It could just be, I don't feel like today I have to make, graphic banners for the award show sponsoring.
Right.
I hate doing that shit. You know what I mean? I hate it. And so, but how do I get myself horny about it or aggressive or something?
Right.
And I learned that from BDSM. You know what I mean? From, I really don't want this thing in my butt. I'm having a rough butt day. And then something makes me horny and I'm like, oh yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That will make me like this, you know? And
right. Finding passion.
Yeah, exactly. So.
And it's hard. And I think that's where a lot of people, going back to what we were saying earlier, seem to fail. Right. Because they never find their passion for anything, and they'd rather just sit back and be like, fuck it.
Yeah.
And then but they'd be mad. Fuck Lance because he's got perv out, or fuck JP because he's working with all these girls and doing BDSM stuff, or fuck whoever. Like, you know, it's throwing shade, and it's because there's no passion within themselves.
Yeah.
And it's sad. It's to me, sad, it's sad.
But I've learned to be, and it's not like, maybe I'll change my attitude on this, but the past few years ago, something clicked where it's like, after the perv out thing, I was like, there's people like you and me and Ariel and a lot of people that will work their butt off to go get what they want.
Right.
And then there's other people who will do just enough work to get the bare minimum and then complain about not getting what they want. And that's the majority. But we need them. You know what I mean? We absolutely need them because we need people to pay to do stuff. I don't mean to sound like arrogant about it, but they're never going to go gusto up and start their own thing and work their ass off, and when it fails, try again and stuff like that. They want to go earn a paycheck. You know what I mean?
They want someone else to tell them what to do.
They need someone to tell them what to do and tell them they did a great job, and then they need someone to complain and say, that guy was not a good boss. I would have preferred he did that. And that's okay. You know what I mean? They need that, and then we need people to do their stuff, so it's okay. You know what I mean? It's like
it works out.
It totally works out.
I feel like if you had everyone in this world that was an overachiever, I don't even know what the next step would be. Like,
what
if we all
get done?
If we all had this like drive to get on such a higher level.
Yeah.
But I mean, then I guess it would still be the average bear. You would still be average, so you would have to even then go further beyond. Like, I don't know what level of savage you'd have to be to get past everyone in the world overachieving.
And when it comes to happy, like, I have a cousin who's he's a crawfish farmer, and he works on a fan boat in the swamp. He's a Louisiana guy.
Right.
And he's got a 9-to-5 job, and he farms crawfish on the side. He's not a go gusto guy, kind of like we are. We're like, I'm going to start my own business and make a difference and get what I want and stuff like that. He is one of the happiest dudes I know. You know what I mean? He goes, he got a job he's cool with, and he got buddies to drink beer with, and he's got a hot wife and a kid. And some dogs, and he is good to go.
His life's complete.
He is fucking good to go, and he's probably, I think he's 28. You know what I mean? And he is good to go for the next 70 years, probably. I mean, so that's
good for him.
It's not like I'm better than that or that. I envy him a lot, because I'm like, dude, you're fucking, he's had a mate since he was 20.
Yeah.
You know, he realized that he liked hanging out in a swamp and he liked crawfish. Cool.
You know, and he was it's the same thing that we do. Found something that he was passionate about, and he figured out a way to make a lot of money doing it.
Totally.
And I don't even feel like it has to be a lot. I feel like it has to just be enough.
It just be enough. He doesn't. I don't think he makes a ton of money. He makes. I haven't seen him in years. So maybe he's killing it now. I don't know, but he's doing good. You know what I mean? Happiness is there. I couldn't. When I had jobs, I was never a good employee, so I had to. By nature, by being unemployable, I had to be my own boss.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then I became a good employee of myself, and then now I can hire people. So that was kind of my path. But it's cool if you can be a good employee. I mean, you can be happy pretty quick.
So
you get a job, you know?
I think that I was kind of the same way. I had situations where I, I think it is. A lot of it rooted from like problems with authority. Didn't like being told what to do.
Right.
And although we all have to at some point, we can sit here and be like, well, I'm my own boss. Someone's still telling us what to do. Someone still tells you what kind of content. Well, you know what? You may want that, but you can't have it because Visa won't allow you to make it.
Sure.
So there's someone that still gives us parameters to work in. Yeah. We just get to do it the way we want. And I feel like some of us are made to be that way and some of us aren't. And it took this not working and that not working and everything kind of like me, like you said, not being, they fucking stopped.
They finally stopped. Cool.
Thanks everybody. I'm just kidding. Yeah. So I feel like that sometimes is enough to motivate people. But then again, that also by not being employable sometimes leads to homelessness.
Oh, totally. I mean, no, I've been, down and out for sure. I was one day away from a long time ago, long story short, I was about to move into Salvation Army. I was like there, the few friends I had left were like, we're just going to take you to Salvation Army. We can't, you know what I mean? You're done. Right. And I found a sofa on the side of the road and some guy that had a truck that needed a favor. And I ended up giving someone a sofa. Like, you know, it showed up at their house. Like, hey, I heard you need a sofa. This guy's got a truck. You can have it. Can I stay on your sofa? You know what I mean? So that was just very seconds and inches from being homeless myself after lots of being unemployable. So I've been there for sure. You know what I mean? But there's, I mean, I worked out of that by just not wanting to live that way anymore. And then I worked my way into being my own boss by not wanting to be an employee anymore. You know what I mean? You just kind of get sick of shit, I guess.
So, yeah. And I think that's the thing. I feel like we keep circling back to this, but it's like, it's that point where you make the decision that I need better. For whatever reason it is, I need to be better. This doesn't work anymore. Because before I started working porn, I was the same way. I was in a horrible situation. Well, not horrible. I was was far from being in an ideal situation.
Sure.
And was not working. Yeah. And needed to, this something had to change. And I got offered a job, and it was minimal money. $350 a week.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, that's fuck tons of money compared to nothing. So compared I'll move across country.
Yeah, yeah.
And that included, that didn't include, that was spending money. And then there was room and board that was included with that. So it was obviously better money. But as far as like what I was able to put in my pocket every week was $350. And that seemed fucking delightful.
Right.
And at that point, something had to give. Something had to change. And I came in at the bottom and I washed the dildos and I cleaned up cum and I edited photos. And I was still such a shy guy that when we were still we were shooting it out of the house, my roommate was my boss also. And when it came time to shoot, I would step out of the room. And he's like, where the fuck do you keep going? I was like, well, I'm not going to just sit here and stare at her. He's like, that's your job. And I was so uncomfortable coming into the industry going, I just have to stand here and stare at her while this is going on. And it was so weird. And obviously, it's part of the job. If you show up on set as a performer and you're like, I'm going to be surrounded by a bunch of people. Oh, they're all going to be watching me.
Totally.
Half of them are probably aroused by what's going on at some level, which means I'm doing my job.
Yeah.
But it was just such a weird thing to come into this. And now I'm telling this story because I haven't thought about this in years. But thinking about being this like shy, like,
Right.
Because I didn't want to disrespect her by watching her naked when I wasn't.
Right.
It was weird. It was a weird situation.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but thank God everything worked out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Thank God.
But it was needing that change and having to have something different happen because what was going on wasn't acceptable anymore. And I feel like too many people are like, oh, well, fuck it. I'm whatever. Yeah. And then you end up with a situation where more people fall into that shitty homelessness situation rather than, because it's easy. It's so easy to just say, fuck it, I'm done.
Yeah.
And just not do it. It's so much easier to do that. And I think that's the reason there are fewer people who succeed at a certain level, because to get to that level, unless it's by pure luck, you've had to earn it. You've had to put in the work. You've had to do something to get it.
You had to do something. And there's traps too that, for porn at least, there's a site, gofuckyourself.com, or there, GFY, right?
Yeah, my old boss, there's like a fucking, last I saw, there was like a 20-page forum on fuck him.
Right. Yeah, so that whole forum, there's useful information in there. I haven't looked at it in probably 8 years, because when I was new to porn, I was like, well, how do you get a merchant processing account? And that's a good place to figure out the basics, you know? But I noticed the people posting there regularly, I'd never heard of any of them, and they don't seem to be making any money. You know what I mean? And what I'm saying is there's forums and spots on the internet and Facebook groups for sex workers and Twitter groups for sex workers that no one who's doing well is a part of. But they're full of people kind of supporting each other and like, no, girl, you look great. And then, lots of talking shit about the people doing well. You know what I mean? And I would tell anyone who asks, like, dude, stay out of those. You know what I mean? Because all you're going to see is negativity and whining about how there's gravity in success. There's gravity in failure. And some of these spots are just gravities and failure, you know? And it's not hard to find I wish Phoenix Forum still happened. That was a good place to find people who are doing well. Simply because it's a little bit of a pain in the ass and it's a little expensive to go. So no one's going to go unless if they have a good reason to be there.
Right.
You know, go all the way to Phoenix, and it's like, I think it was like $500 for a ticket. You know what I mean? And the hotel was like $400 a night, you know? So it's like, it's not like only for rich people, but it's not easy. So the only people there are the people who are making money and doing well, and you know what I mean? So you end up...
So the people who need the information that they're willing to share can't afford to get in to see it anyway.
Yeah.
That sucks.
So it kind of sucked, but if you could just break that... That conference helped me so much, because I just... saved up a little, just enough to go. And I couldn't afford to stay there. I stayed at a Motel 6, kind of up the street. And they did provide food, and I ate all the free food I could. You know what I mean? Like, I literally spent every dime I could just to be there. But just making that leap of faith got me into a whole new world. You know what I mean? So, I mean, just kind of getting to where the people are and hanging out with them is so helpful. I made so many connections that first year.
And I feel like people that are successful, I'm yet to meet someone that is successful that when you come up and ask for advice, they're like, fuck off. I'm not telling you anything.
No.
People are like, here, let me talk to you. And people want to show, which is kind of why I started doing this, is because I want to show people that there's, you know, there's...
Totally.
That there's a lot of money to be made, and if it's done the right way, you can succeed, and you can succeed well. But being able... But it's having a spot that it's, you know, well, fuck, what is the Phoenix Forum? I've never even heard of Phoenix Forum. Sure. Or what is this? Or what is it? But if people start getting, and if this hopefully keeps successful and keeps going, there's constantly going to be people. And because if it gets big enough, maybe I'll branch out. But for now, all I want to do is people in this industry, because I want it to be something that has a place where there's someone, you know, like Susie Q, or not Susie Q. Susie Q is actually a name of a model. But say, you know, some little Jenny or whatever, is I'm going to start doing, I want to, I'm 18 years old, I'm sick of my dead end job, and I want to do something. What do I do?
Yeah.
I mean, there's not even, because there's not even really a place that you can Google and like, oh, here's all of the reputable, or not even non-reputable. Here's a listing of adult talent agencies.
Sure. Yeah.
Or where is this? Or where is, like, there's no book, there's no class. There are, but how the fuck are you going to find them? Because like you said, there's no, the pegging word's not here. There's not the right word that sends you in the right direction.
I think I heard about Phoenix Forum because I went to, XBiz is cool, I think, because they do events and conventions all over the place.
Right.
So like, I was in Florida, but there happened to be an XBiz Miami. So like, I could get there, and they made it free for performers, so I could go. That's where, and I heard people just saying, oh, we'll meet you at Phoenix Forum, or oh, are you going to be at Phoenix Forum this year? And I was like, hey, what's Phoenix Forum? You know?
Right.
And someone said, well, this is a pool party, this XBiz Miami thing. It's just for fun. That's where we do business. And I was like, well, fuck, I'm going to go there. You know what I mean?
Right.
It doesn't happen anymore. This is its last year. But I think the new thing, hopefully, Straight Up Gay Porn and some people who really liked Phoenix Forum a lot are trying to start a new thing.
Okay.
Which I don't know when that is yet, but I don't know. But the girl who runs Futurina, girls with dicks that have, what's that called, Futurina?
When you have the ones with the massive dicks.
Yeah, it's like not a, it's not supposed to be a strap-on. You're supposed to pretend like it's a dick, but it's like an anime dick. It's not trans women. It's not girls with strap-ons. It's girls with like anime dicks.
Right.
You know what I mean? She owns that site, Futurama, Futurina, Cindy. She's great, Cindy Pham. So she's kind of heading up starting a new thing like that. But... or XBiz and AVN aren't bad places to meet people, but it's just staying away from the traps of negativity. You know what I mean?
Yeah, staying away from the traps of negativity. And it's also not because, and it's so easy to walk up on someone because you don't know, even the successful ones, there are people. I mean, I feel like I'm a fairly successful person at what I do, and you catch me at the right moment and I'm throwing shade everywhere.
Sure.
I try not to. I think at some point, and not say all to generalize, but I feel like a lot of people get irritated about situations and are passionate about things. And it's not so much as it is throwing shade as it is just being so passionate about not agreeing with a certain thing. But that's, and I know what you're talking about. It's like these sewing circles of people who just sit there and they're like, well, all they do is complain. Like being upset about one thing, but just complaining constantly about, no.
One thing I had to start looking at is it's really easy if I'm at like AVN or something to look at who's got the biggest crowd around them. Or who's got, everybody wants a selfie with them. Or they're just in interviews the whole time because everyone wants them.
Right.
That looks, my instinct for, my social instinct, whatever that is, gets all triggered. And I'm like, I want to be like that. Or why am I not like that? I'll never be like that. But that is all a distraction. That's a smoke show. I should be paying attention to who's paying that person. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like if it, right now it's Nicolette O'Shea. It's like... pretty hot, and you know, everywhere she goes, there's people around her and cameras and stuff like that.
Right.
If I was a girl, I might be tempted to look at like, how do I get like that? Or I'll never be like that. Or da 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 da. You should be looking around the room for who's paying her check. You know what I mean? Because they're the person you need to know, and they're the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's.
You need to understand not so much the who, but the why.
Or why? Yeah. Or what?
Why is she so popular? Or why does everyone surround her? Why is this person paying her to be here? Like what It's beyond just who she is, that single person.
Yeah, and it's not just that. And people do dumb shit, like so-and-so has green hair now. I'm going to do green hair. It's not that. You got to look at, and I found my answers by finding the people who are paying people. And then, and it's not that hard. Like, I'm a dude, so I couldn't, in the straight world, I couldn't get there by flirting. You know what I mean? And right. I couldn't get there by shaking my ass. I just had to hang around, buzz around them and ask friendly conversation, you know, try to listen to him.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, how's your day going, buddy? Oh, really tired? Why are you tired? You know what I mean? Like, really not, hey, I have an elevator pitch. I want to throw at you real quick. Like, just trying to listen to him. And eventually they became nice. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it kind of helps. That helps. But, yeah, I just think people get lost sometimes. But there's still so much stuff to, so many ways to be successful. So it's cool.
Yeah. You know, and there's so many different branches. I mean, besides, because as our industry, I feel like is slowly, I don't think that it's emptying out, but I feel like our industry is doing the same thing that the music industry did in the 90s.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to reset.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, the dudes from Metallica went and took down Napster and everything was, and they sued their own fans and they did whatever they did.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's squared away-ish enough. But at that point, the damage was done.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're in that same spot, but there's no suing Pornhub.
Yeah.
There's no suing, you know, the people who lead that up, the conglomerates. I feel like it's just, it's found, it's trying to morph into what it's going to be next. And then when it gets to the next stage, excuse me, hopefully, I mean, cause I think porn's always going to be here, just like music.
Yeah, it's
always
going to
be here.
You're always going to have it.
It's the way it's done and how the hustle goes down is that's figuring out what the next step is for us as performers.
Totally.
Because it's having, you know, these different outlets, because back in the day, if you didn't know how to, you know, do Dreamweaver or Flash stuff or anything like that, or write code, you were fucked. You had to depend on, you know, Joe Schmo who did, and now you've got to give that person a 60% cut because they're running your website for you. But now, fuck, you can go on Pornhub.
Yeah.
And you can set up a premium site, or you can go on, you know, Snapchat or OnlyFans or mini vids or clips for sale. Like you can, there's so many places you can make the money if you hustle.
Yeah. Yeah. And they all have their own little, like my friend Alex Adams, he figured out how does the game work at Pornhub? It's a game of views. How do I get more views than everyone else? You know what I mean? Same clips for sale. Look at the top 50 rankings. How does that game work? You know what I mean? It's, you can deduce it. It's the answers are there. You know what I mean? Within, you know, generally. If you do ABN, like streaming, you know what I mean? You just kind of look at what's ranking. And generally, people will answer if you email your contact. If you start uploading to Clips for Sale, Neil, the owner of Clips for Sale's cell phone number is in the producer dashboard. So once you have an account, you literally have his cell phone number. So you can text Neil and be like, hey, just started a store. I'm thinking about this. What do you think? And he'll get back to you. It's crazy. You know what I mean?
Shit.
Yeah, it might not be right away, and he might just give you another number to call, but he will respond. You know what I mean? That's how I got to know him.
That's good information to have.
Yeah, he will totally help. And that's just Clips for Sale. Not all of them are like that. Some of them were not as friendly, you know what I mean? But those ones don't last. I think that's why Clips for Sale is so great. Neil's a foot fetish dude that honestly got super lucky making foot fetish porn, made a bunch of money, and then created Clips for Sale. You know what I mean? So he's a guy who gets it, and he's just a normal, down-to-earth dude. And so that's cool. A lot of the knockoffs, people saw what he did and knocked it off, and they're not so great. But Pornhub people seem to be generally nice. You know, like Christian, Mia, and Holly at Pornhub. Normally, I email them. They get back to me. Sometimes it takes a week and a half because I got so many people emailing them. But they get back to me. You know what I mean? And they'll tell me, like, hey, these keywords that you're using, maybe switch to this. You know what I mean? And it's cool, you know?
That's good because that's some pretty deep knowledge. That's knowledge that most people don't have. And that's like you crave. You're like, tell me the words to help me make this. Because at the end of the day, you're successful. That means they're successful.
Well, and that's what I found from the Perv Out experience of helping people do stuff. I know really quick if someone's going to do well or not. If they text me and say, hey, can you help me set up my Pornhub channel? I know they're probably not going to make it because they haven't gone Pornhub.com. Model program. You know what I mean? Like, because it's very self-explanatory. But if the ones that get stuck somewhere and they're like, hey, I'm doing all these updates, but they're not seeming to show up. I don't know. Have you run into this? You know what I mean? Or who's the customer support person? Like, who do I email?
Right.
Those people generally make it because they try and hit a wall. I'm kind of fucked. Maybe Lance or someone knows. I'll just text them. You know right. what I mean? But they're not, hey, do it for me. I'm not good at this.
Yeah, they've already put the legwork in and done everything, like you said, until they hit a wall. They're like, I don't know where to go.
Yeah, literally don't know what to. And then once you text them, they're off to the races. They don't really want to talk to you anymore. They're right. like, no, they're, okay,
goes down, they go back
I'm
going to
go make money. You know what right. I mean? Those are the people that do very well. But the majority of people are, I'm not good at this, do it for me, because I'm not good at this kind of thing, and I don't know. I mean, they literally say that with that tone. And then I think there's a comedian that did a bit on it, but I was like, yes, that's everybody. You know what I mean? It was Garth from Wayne's World. What was his name? Dana Carvey.
Dana Carvey.
Yeah, he did a bit on it, on millennials talking like that. And I was like, it's not just millennials, it's people, you know what I mean? But
uninspired people.
Yeah, yeah. So they, I mean, those are the people that just need to go get a paycheck, and that's cool. That's very cool. Go work, you know, perform in porn, and you know, me or JP or someone will hire you. You know what I mean? And that's totally cool. That's right. Totally cool. So, or hit a wall and finally decide to go work hard. You know, but anybody can do it. You know,
that's what I always tell people too. I'm like, yeah. I did it. And when I see people that,
yeah.
And that's the thing, and it's not being an elitist, I think, yeah. on my, but it's like, when I look back and I'm like, fuck, if I can do it, anybody can.
Me, yeah, if I can, when I was 19, I'd done so many fucking drugs, and I was already a mental case anyway. The best neurologist my parents could take me to swore up and down that I would never leave their basement. They were like, he's not a danger to himself or others, but your son's going to live in your basement for the rest of your life, is what they told my parents in front of me. You know what I mean? And, right. And at the time, I was like, sweet, let's give up. You know what I mean? Like, fuck yeah.
There's my excuse.
Listen to the good doctor. We don't have to try anymore. I mean, they're very clear. Very low IQ, not able to handle shit. Maybe I could get a job at the mall. Definitely not going to college. You know what right. I mean? That's me. And if I can start a porn business that's pretty successful and win awards and shit, you know what I mean? Literally anyone can. It's right. not smarts. You know what I mean?
It's drive.
Yeah, it's drive. It's literally just drive. That's it. This thing up my brain up here does not compute shit as fast as a lot of people that I see. But when it comes to what should happen next in a porn, this machine can handle that. You know what I mean? It's like a Detroit diesel engine. It just chugs along. You know what I mean?
Just keeps
glug, glug, glug. And what should happen next in a porn, or what should I shoot next, doesn't take NASA's giant computer. You know what I mean? It just right. takes a little tiny like calculation of do. So anybody can do it, you know. Charlotte started a t-shirt business because someone told her you should do that. And she gets suggestions on shit all the time. But when she hears something she wants to do, she kills it. You know what I mean? And she did it, and no one really taught her much about it. She just did it. She had a picture she wanted to use, asked for permission. Anyway, just was like overnight success with that. You right. know what I mean? And
she's actually, she gave me a contact, her contact actually, because I did a t-shirt thing.
Yeah,
I threw
yeah.
some designs together, threw it up on the internet to try and, again, trying to get traffic yeah. to my site. So I was like, you know, go to my site, blah, 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 do the voting, screen cap, this, that, and the other. Like, gave everybody the steps, and everyone was like, this is great. I love this. I love this. And plenty yeah. of people voted. And I was like, fuck, this t-shirt thing might work.
Yeah.
And then I collected all the names, threw them in like a generator. I'm like, you can get a free online thing where you dump, like, take all the
cool.
names, drop them in there, and it'll randomly yeah. pick one for you. Yeah. That way you're not favoriting something.
Sure.
And it picked one, and I contacted them, and they were like, this is the one I want. So I was like, I'll order a couple extra large, maybe sure. a triple extra large, a couple medium, couple smalls, and I'll just so I can have yeah. the order big enough to get a lower price. And that was the one they chose. So I was like, I'll just get a bunch of them to get the price down.
Yeah.
Nobody. Not a fucking soul wanted them.
Oh, no.
But
right.
then when I did the podcast with Charlotte, yeah. and I talked about it, people have been coming out of the woodwork, where the fuck are these t-shirts?
Right.
So I was like, I'm going to do this thing
yeah.
and I'm going to put it out. And that's how I ended up coming up with the new graphic for this, the podcast. It's
yeah.
like everyone loves this boot print that I would, because I'm notorious for standing on girls and putting
boot
prints
yeah.
on their chest.
Yeah.
So I put the boot print, and then I did the, along with the Pope, and I did like the ATP initials for it. I'll show you the art real quick. Oh, for fuck's sakes. Anytime I want this to move fast, it doesn't. See, so I made the boot
print. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I like it. That's
and
cool.
everyone now is like, give me some shirts. I want the shirts. So yeah. I was like, all right, I don't have the money to just start it because everything takes money.
Everything takes money. Yeah.
I have the money, but I've got money. The money's tied up doing other things.
Yeah, you wanted that money to do another thing. I get it. Yeah,
so
I get that.
I did something else, and this is more information from you guys. For you guys, is it Patreon? Patreon?
Yeah.
I just started one of those yesterday because I was like, if you guys want these as bad as you say you do,
right?
Let's start doing this. Let's start collecting money, and every penny that I make off of that goes straight into setting up. The first thing that's going to happen is setting up the T-shirt. And like, you know, you got the different tiers. I don't know if you ever messed with it. You got different tiers of like donations. Right. And I think whatever I set one up and called it Superfan. And the one perk you get out of doing that is you get to choose from all the T-shirts and you get one for free.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, if you're going to donate that kind of money, at least you can do is get that. So it's one of those alleys where it's like I'm trying to get this set up. But at the same time, like I said, it costs money. So because she told me, she's like, TP, you have to do it. And it's like the...
Oh, she killed it on that. It's great, like really good money she made. I don't want to talk about her money, but I mean, I'm telling you, it was worthwhile. You know what I mean? And it took work. She had some, it was some pain in the ass shit she had to do. We did it, originally she did it with a buddy, and then that, it just didn't, you know, they hit a wall, didn't work out. And then I was like, well, shit, baby, we're in our kitchen. And I was like, I'm not a great website builder, but I know how. You know what I mean? Like, I can make you a T-shirt site. It will not be the one that's pretty and that you like, but...
It'll function.
It'll function, and people want to buy the shit out of your T-shirts. So I was like, do you want to do that? And then the way we operate as a couple, as a sex work married couple, we don't share money because... I don't want to be in a position where I want like a new AR-15 and I hope that she does another anal scene so I can buy that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or like a truck or, yeah, I've seen that a lot in porn or vice versa. I don't want her to want a new Prada purse and then want me to go get gangbanged. You know what I mean? Like, that's just not cool. You know? So we keep our money separate. And then work wise, like if she's in one of my movies, I either pay her full rate or there's something financial that I'm doing for her. You know what I mean? And it's a trade. We discuss the trade and we negotiate like we weren't married. You know what I mean?
It's still business.
It's fucking business. Right. So we made a deal. I was like, you be like a Vanna White in three or four of my porns. Like where you're not like getting fucked or fuck. You're just kind of showing up and being hot.
Right.
Which is high value for me. Like that's, I would normally have to pay a girl maybe $500 to do that. Just because that's what they're doing that day. And they have makeup and all that shit, and they can't do anything else, but they're basically an extra. But they might touch a dick too, so what is that? So I was like, babe, be Vanna White and a few of my porns, and I'll spend the money. I'll do whatever it takes to get your site live, you know? So we did that, and it was... And then I hit a fucking wall, because they... dumb shit. She had fake blood on her T-shirt, and no merchant processor would approve it. You know what I mean? Because it had fake blood. And I was like, well, what if we change the name to, like... cherry syrup T-shirt, and they're like, "No, we already know you called it a blood shirt because we called it blood shirt."
Right.
Now you call it a blood shirt, so now we can't. And the same merchant processor had approved it on the previous site, but it got flagged. You know what I mean? So now we had to redesign the shirt, and she was like, "But I like the design." So anyway, she found another guy that can do all that. So, but that's what I'm saying. That's what it takes to be successful. She did it once, figured out it would work. It failed. I mean, it didn't work with the first person. Then she had husband jump in and make a deal. And that didn't fucking work. You know what I mean? And I don't even consider myself a failure for that. I'm like, we hit a fucking wall. You know what I mean? Like, what are you going to do? And I could have kept going with it. But by that time, she found someone else who said, no, I can slam dunk this fucker. You know what I mean? I can get it live tomorrow. And so I wasn't offended. I was like, sweet, do it. You know what I mean? And she was Vanna White in my movies, just like she said she would. You know what I mean?
And you did what you said you were going to do.
I did what I said I was going to do. It just, you know, everything's cool. And then that guy did it for a percentage. So it wasn't like she did my movies and then that was a loss. She, you know, figured it out with him. And now she's back in business selling shirts.
Right.
But that's what it takes to, success takes is... I mean, I'm just repeating myself now, but you know what I mean? Like, I want it and someone do it for me and I'll do it when it looks right. I mean, she had to accept that my site was going to be ugly, you know what I mean? To move forward. And the new one, it's cool and it works great, but there's some unideal ways about the payout. You know what I mean? It's got a very complicated payout.
Right.
Like she has, I shouldn't talk about her money, but it's complicated. You know what I mean? Like as far as like, how much money do I have today? Because it comes... and weird trickles and it's confusing, you know what I mean? So
I think that's it. Because
people have to succeed. You have to be like, well, it's going to be like that. Cool.
I tell my kid all the time that, and you know this because we've talked about it just today, and I think anyone that's successful has done this. Like, you fail so much more than you succeed.
And then
what makes you successful is the fact that you keep trying rather than stopping. Oh, fuck it. I failed. I'm not going to do it anymore.
Right.
No, that's bullshit. I'm going to do it. That just wasn't the right way.
Yeah.
That wasn't the right way. That wasn't the right way. Oh, look. There's the right way, but it's because you didn't give up that you continue to move in that direction and fucking and make it happen. Because it is, like I said before, it's easy. So easy to be like, fuck it, I won't do it anymore.
Yeah. I saw when I met Ariel, I was in the armory in the green room, whatever, mm-hmm. the place where models hang out.
Right.
And I was like, she's so hot. You know what I mean? So I walk in the room and I was like, you could feel it. You know what I mean? From walking around the corner, I was like, oh, she's hot. And then I look. And she had this like massive black eye, right?
Yeah.
And she had just done, I forgot what she had done. She told me the story later. But so she was like trying to ice it. And I was like, hey, ooh, you all right? And she goes, yeah. And I got like shoots all this week. We got to figure this out. You know what I mean? But she did her shoots anyway with the black. I mean, she wasn't giving up then.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think it's interesting that she's highly successful now. You know what I mean? Years later.
Right.
I mean, that was probably 8 or 9 years ago. I don't know when that was, maybe 7. But, and she was kind of new at that time, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
And, I think she's, well, I don't know. She's been doing this, I think I've known her most of my career, almost all my career. I'm 15 years deep now.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So,
she's probably got 12, 13 years in.
Yeah, she was not 14. Directing at the time. I think she was modeling.
Right. Yeah, that far back, I think she was still modeling.
Yeah, so she was, but I don't know, just shit like that. You see, and you know that person, if they want it, they're going to get it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Whatever it is, they're
going
to get it. Whereas so many other people are like, black eye, call my agent, send me home, let's whine about this, and let's see if we can throw someone under the bus, and you know what I mean? All that shit. I mean, obviously, if you get assaulted, you should say something, but but it was an accident.
But if shit happens and there's either, okay, I can just lay down and be like, well, sorry, I'm not going to make it, I'm going to complain about it, or I'm going to figure out a way to make this still work.
Yeah, I'm going to ice the fuck out of this all night and arnica it, and you know what I mean?
Go get some better cover-up makeup.
Right. Yeah, like people like her, she's a fucking warrior, and so she gets what she wants, you know? It's cool.
Alrighty, sir. This is awesome. And fucking, I'm going to have to bring you back. We're almost an hour and a half into this.
Whoa. It's a long one.
I think. Let me see. I think we're almost an hour and a half in.
Damn.
An hour and 37 minutes.
Whoa, dude.
I love it.
Feature length film.
I know.
There, you made a feature.
There it is.
Yeah, there it is. Done.
And we did it in less than 3 hours.
Yeah, we did it less than three. Totally.
So, one, thank you so much for doing this. This is super awesome. And I'd love it if you'd come back because I asked one question and we just kind of did the thing. But that's what I love about this.
Right.
And there's so much because you're such an amazing person and such a complex person at the same time. Like, I want the world to know more about you. But before we wrap up, what I'd like to do is have the guest give advice. And we've gave tons of advice now. But if you could give advice to someone that's not here, but someone not in the industry right now, but someone who's just like, I think I want to start doing this, but I don't know what to even, where to look or what to start. Is there any advice that you would give, like anything? It could be financial. It could be anything that we've talked about or anything that's random. But what would you tell someone that was about to come in this industry? What would you tell them?
Oh, man. Well, the main thing is be nice to everybody. That goes, because you don't know who's making big decisions. You know what I mean? If you're at AVN, so be nice to everybody, you know?
Right.
And then... saving money saves you from desperate decisions. I'm terrible at saving money, but people who end up in desperate porn decisions doing sex work they don't want to do, it's because they didn't save their money. You know what I mean? So having enough money to pay your bills as soon as you can and saving it's good. Don't worry about your brand. Let the internet brand you. You know what I mean?
That's, right.
People who worry about their brand never make it off the ground unless they get lucky. You know what I mean? That's like the number one killer of porn careers, I think.
I've seen a lot of that to where, to interrupt you, they come in and they have this thing and you keep, and I watch them.
Yeah.
And eventually because I'm not going to be like, hey, dummy, because that's just, that's not who I am.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you see them with the thing. They have their thing, their shtick or whatever. And I'm like, and I kind of beat around the bush and ask them a question about it, but not by any means, you know, coming at them. And when I ask them, they're like, and they always say, oh, blah, blah, blah. And they say what you've noticed about them. And then like, well, that's my thing.
Right.
Don't reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
This is, at the end of the day, this is just like any other industry and it's already established. You having a thing.
Yeah.
unless, like you said, you're lucky, your thing's just, it's already, you've already stopped before you get started.
You stop and you cut yourself off from stuff. And I did, I started in gay porn. I like fucking dudes, but I enjoy it, but it's not my main focus. You know what I mean? If my ego led the way, I would have been a straight porn star. You know what I mean? Right. But I'm glad I didn't do that, because I wouldn't have made it as a top, like, guys like Xander and Seth Gamble, I can't top at their level. You know what I mean? I physically don't have those, you know what I mean? I wouldn't have made it. I would have been like mediocre, below par.
I don't know though, dude, you got to drive. You got a lot of drive.
I mean, I would have tried hard for sure, but I wouldn't have made it. And then I'm not knocking gay porn, but I would have cut myself off from so much stuff, you know?
Right.
I just did what I'm okay with that I think the internet will like, and then covered all the bases I could, and whatever the internet branded me as, that's it. And if you look at in mainstream, Madonna reinvents herself every 5 years or so. You know what I mean? Prince did while he's around, you know, Michael Jackson, like the big, top people. They're not just one thing. You know what I mean?
Well, you can't be.
You can't be. Yeah, no one's one thing. So I'd say don't fucking worry about a brand. Don't worry about what you think other people are doing that they're successful. Some of the biggest, most Instagram famous porn starlets, they're broke. You know what I mean? So don't do that.
And that's, what's your friend that we were talking about earlier? This got
8,000. Alex Adams,
And he's got 8,000 followers on Twitter. He has basically what everyone would consider. There's civilians that aren't even in the industry that have that many followers.
Oh, there's dudes that dated a porn star for a week that have that many. You know what I mean?
And yet he's got 2 billion?
Yeah, 2 billion views. That's just Pornhub. Also X videos. Also, I mean, he's making money off that. And he's got a successful clips for sale. And now a membership site too. I forgot he did that. But that is insane. You know what I mean? It's not that. That stuff helps. It helps to be Instagram famous. It's nice. It is a nice perk. If this were like a video game like Fallout or something, Instagram famous is just a perk. You know what I mean? It's not that people think of.
Well, that's what Nicolette, going back to her, Nicolette Shea, she when I met her, she came in, and one of her things was, she was like, I had over 1 million followers before I even started doing porn. And I was like, okay.
It's a perk. It's good for you. It's a helpful perk.
Yeah, because maybe at some point someone's going to come up and they're going to ask you to cause, and this is happening a lot too, going back to the hustle thing, is that it's, hey, Lance, we've got this new fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Will you talk about it on your Instagram because you've got X amount of followers? Or like going to Nicolette, or like, I think there's several girls. Abella Danger does that a lot now, where people, you now get paid because you established such a following.
Yeah.
It's just a perk.
It's just a perk, and it can be replaced. There's, if you or I decided for our next business venture, we need an Instagram famous person in it. All we'd have to do is reach out to a shit ton of Instagram famous people and say, hey, what's your price to do my thing? You know what I mean? And now they're a porn star too. You know what I mean? It's not, it's a sellable commodity. I want to be the guy writing the check again. Like that's me. But, so that's what I would say. I would say, yeah, be nice. Don't worry about clout and don't worry about that stuff. Who's like a really good guy? Derek Pierce. Yeah. He only has like 8,000 followers on Twitter. You know what I mean?
You know one of the problems why he's got 8,000 followers? Because him and I are friends. We always razz each other. So I'm going to bust his balls. I hope you watch this.
Yeah.
Derek. He keeps fucking forgetting his login. So he'll get up to like 15,000-20,000 followers. And then all of a sudden he loses his login, or he changes phones or something. And he can't remember where it's at. So he's like, all right.
Yeah.
This is like the Instagram Twitter handle he has right now. This is probably the fifth or sixth one that I know that he's had.
Okay.
Maybe fourth or fifth. But either way, this is not his first. He just, he keeps getting it.
I've never met him, but people, from what I've heard, he's like one of the best, like actual physical performing performers.
He's really good.
Yeah. He's one of the top. If you need a guy to lay it down, you get him.
Well, he's also, he came in and he, like you did, he came in and was like, show me, teach me, I want to know. And you remember the guy, the sex and submission director back at King?
He went
to him and was like, show me how these things work. And then he went to, at the time, that guy's wife, who was running the other boy girl, one of the other boy girl bondage sites.
Right.
And he was like, show me.
Yeah.
And then he was working for me. So that he had the three of us, the three people basically that were running the only three bondage and sex websites at the time.
Right.
And he was, and that's how he got his chops. And he'll tell people that all the time. He's like, you know, 1, 2, 3 are the people who help bring me to where I am. But it also helped that he was passionate about it, and he had a little of it in him anyway.
Yeah.
So
he
wanted it, and he craved it, and he was like, gimme, and he soaked up all the information.
Right.
And he's probably one of the more go-to guys for a lot of the girls. They're like, if you're going to do super hardcore, I want him.
Yeah,
and it's not to diss the other ones, but they're like, because that's his reputation.
But the, when it comes to like clout, you know what I mean? Like that doesn't, I think he's got a lot of clout within the industry, but I'm saying like Twitter clout, you know what I mean?
He's also quiet on social media.
Yeah.
He doesn't do a lot of hustle. He does, he does a fuck tons of hustle, but he does it behind the scenes.
Does his shit that matters,
He doesn't put his shit out there because that's his shit.
But and how much would it really help him to have an above average male porn star Twitter clout might be like 100 grand followers, you know?
Right.
How much would that really help Derek Pierce? I mean, it probably wouldn't even move the needle in his life.
No.
It might, unless he likes attention like I do or something, but I don't know if I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you've seen how good looking that guy is. He loves attention.
Right. But it's not going to.
He's probably the only male talent, in my opinion, that gives you a run for the money when it comes to good looking men.
Right. But he's got, but I'm just saying that people get distracted with like that. So I think the main thing is, and is what I'm doing profitable? That's important, you know?
And he's got a strong hustle. That guy's got so much shit going on besides the adult industry.
Sure.
Like he does CrossFit training and he's...
It's a jiu-jitsu guy, I think,
he's,
right?
Yeah, I think he does lifting, he does martial arts, he's crazy into cars.
Yeah.
He's super into fitness. He's got his hands in so much. I think what he's doing now... what was he doing the last time I saw him? He was out here. He's training because of the martial arts. He's training people. He's like a corner guy now. So he's out here.
Shit.
And I ran into, we were
That's
at a
cool.
casino.
Yeah.
We went to go have lunch somewhere. We're like, the wife and I were like, fuck it, let's go get some lunch. And it was down on the street. Oh, what did we do? We had a friend in town that was gambling.
Right.
And they had a leftover ticket and they were like, I got to go. You guys can have this. It wasn't a lot of money. We're like, we'll cash it in and have lunch on this thing.
Right.
And as we're walking, I see him like, God, that guy's fucking good. That's fucking Derek. Because I'm all like checking him out.
Yeah.
And of course, he's got the arms out and shit. And he's got his hood on. He's keeping his head down. He's just moving through the crowd.
Yeah.
And we start talking, and he's out here with one of his fighters.
Oh,
there's
some
big fucking fight night, and he's out here with one of his fighters. So
no
he's
shit.
Like, he's just like anybody that's successful.
Yeah,
he's everywhere.
He's out there enjoying life. And then, and people compare. There's an expression like, I don't want to compare my raw meat to your well polished exterior. You know what I mean?
Right.
And people do that on the internet because it's so easy to do on the internet. I do that on the internet sometimes. I catch myself doing it. So, but if new people in the industry, that's a trap. I mean, it matters, What matters is I make enough money to pay my bills and then also I do stuff I want to do. I'm comfortable and that kind of stuff.
Right.
But, that's important stuff. Staying safe is good. What else is good? I don't know. Yeah. Be nice to people.
Yeah.
That's good. It's important.
It's super, super important.
Yeah.
Keep your head down. Mind your business. Stay in your fucking lane.
Don't worry if people talk shit about someone. That person might actually be a good person. That's one thing I know.
There's an old saying my dad used to tell me all the time. He's like, be careful. What was it he said? Be careful of the hands you step on climbing up the ladder because those might be connected to the same ass you have to kiss coming down.
Yeah.
Or something like that. It was when he first said it, I was like, man, and the more I thought about it as I got older, I was like, that makes a lot of sense.
Well, I've seen a lot of new people and it makes sense. If you're, say it's your first porn shoot ever and you're a newbie and you're on set and three people on set are talking heavy shit about someone who's not there, right? Like that person's real bit like rapey or racist or something that would make you not want to be around that person.
Right.
That's your only information you have. You know what I mean? That's it. And then you go to gfy.com or your Facebook for sex workers group or whatever, and you bring that story up and they might have a thing to co-sign that. You know what I mean? Because they're people who don't really work either. You know what I mean? Meanwhile, and then you get booked with that person and you're like, well, I don't know if I should do it because I heard such and such about them. That killed your career right there. You know what I mean? Like, go get your own information.
I tell people that all the time. I'm like, you know what? Even if you hear me say it and I've got my phone out and we're looking it up, do your own research.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, if someone's like raping people on set, you maybe stay away from them. But if you're like, oh, I don't like that person because I heard this and I don't, or they're on my no list because I heard this and that. Like, that's shit's killing you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just go get, I work with so many people that I would not want to have lunch with, you know?
Yeah. But you can have a great scene and you move on.
Great scene. And the other thing is people are like waiting for chemistry to happen to make good porn. if you ask people in interviews, what makes a really good scene? They almost always say chemistry. And I just don't agree. It's, in my experience, it's hard work makes a good scene. You know what I mean? Chemistry is a perk. It's great when it happens. But you can work your butt off together as a team and collaborate with zero chemistry and make an amazing scene.
I've done it.
And totally not like that person. And high five and respect them.
Hug them.
We should do this again. And then hope they don't ask you to go get for a ride to the airport because you can't stand being around them. You know what I mean? And that,
but those are the days we earn our money, and that's what makes us good performers.
And some of those people, I respect them so much. I just don't really like being around them. You know what I mean? But I will hire them again. I'll want to be on their set because they were on the same let's work hard together level.
Yeah,
you know,
and let's make a great scene, and people are going to love it. And I've had, back at headquarters hit me up a couple times and like, hey, we should really shoot this person.
Yeah, yeah.
The scene was great. It looked great. Everyone's loving it. The comments are great. Great, great, great everywhere. And I'm like, that person, no.
Right, right.
Like, I earned my yearly salary on that one shoot.
Yeah,
and it doesn't
happen
often. I'm sure you've had this suit to wear, but did you have to put it, because it's easy again to go, fuck it, I'm not going to do it. I'm done.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
We're going to call a shoot or we're going to cancel a shoot or whatever.
Right.
But to get in there and, you know, the lemonade kind of situation where you're like, I'm going to take this and roll with it and do everything in my power to carry it. And then and it's not the same scenario because you're like more just like not connecting. And I've had those too where it's like, you know what, maybe there's no chemistry between me and the person I'm working with, but the scene's hot. And I don't mind being on set with them. And I know the scene did well enough that I'm like, well, I'll hire them again.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, because it's not. If every time I did a scene, or you probably did a scene with someone else, and it was based only on having chemistry, we wouldn't be doing a lot of scenes.
No, we wouldn't. Well, and like Bunny Colby, who I love hiring, neither of us push it to like become good friends in each other's lives, even though I might hire her more than anyone else. Well, maybe not, but I hire her a lot. You know what I mean? And she seems to really like working with me. But where I'm not going to like, just because, I mean, she's also really hot and really funny and seems like a cool person. That doesn't mean we have to like create this like unified friendship and thing. You know what I mean?
They'll force it.
Yeah, we just work together really. It's cool. And I love giving her money to be in my porn. You know what I mean? There's no, and I wouldn't say we have chemistry. We've been performed together twice and we both did okay. You know what I mean? It wasn't like... this like magical, and there's other people who like Lydia Black, if we're in the same room, I just want to touch her. You know what I mean? Like, just, oh God, there's something there. And I also love hiring her, but I'm just saying that's not a necessity.
Right.
You know, like
chemistry doesn't have to be there.
Does not have to.
You put in the hard work and you're a good performer and no one's going to know the wiser.
Otherwise, you have a very short list of people you can work with. You know
what I mean? Super short.
Yeah. Cool.
Alrighty, sir. Thank you so much again. This is awesome. Monumental, like I said, it's the first boy I got
first
on here.
Dude,
Alrighty. Like I said, if you're down, let's do this again sometime.
I love that. Yeah, anytime.
Awesome. Cool. All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
See ya.
Bye.
I always let that roll.